We have it in, as promised, in three, in both in terms of areas and in terms of individuals. And we have provided a, for easy digestion, we have provided a summary all on the petition matters, the progress on the petition matters to date. And I'm happy to hand over to the Commission. Chairperson, if I may, then report in terms of progress. In terms of the Stellenbosch claimants, verification was conducted and finalisation of the verification report is to be done by the 15th of December 2011. Valuation reports for certain Mr. Poole's project are expected on the 25th of November, and a meeting was conducted on the 11th of October between the RLCC, National Department of Public Works, the Department of Home Affairs and claimant representatives regarding the upgrade of the school used by the Department of Home Affairs. And an agreement was reached to put on hold the upgrade of the building pending the outcome of valuation. And Mrs. Williams had payment affected, and that was done on the 8th of August 2011. In relation to the Claremont Newlands batch, the verification phase one was completed with the report tabled at the vetting committee meeting, which we are expecting to be finalised by the 15th of December this year. And an agreement was reached by with the City of Cape Town to release the Bowood Road land, the old bowling club, at a cost of $27 million for that purpose. So that is very much in progress. In terms of Hart Bay, suitable land in Hart Bay could not be secured. Claimants were given the option to be included in the Neufeldach project, but, otherwise known as the retreat land, but only a Mr. Domingo accepted the offer, with all of the other claimants refusing to relocate to retreat. As they demand Hart Bay property. And an agreement was reached with the NDPW to release land in retreat free of charge. In relation to the Goodwood Windermere Kensington community batch, we have finalised verification for 56 claims for batch 1, and batch 2, the report will be finalised by the end of the year. The Communal Property Association for the Goodwood claimants is in progress and is being registered. NDPW has released the Communal Property Association for the Goodwood claimants is in the process of being registered. NDPW has released 30 hectares of land free of charge. In addition, the Provincial Department of Human Settlement released 5 properties at historical value. Hampshire, we reached an agreement, agreement was reached with the Department of Transport and Public Works to release 9.5 hectares in Constantia on condition that the ROCC conducts a feasibility study. Proposals were invited for a service provider to conduct a business plan, and proposals were evaluated by the RLCC and will be adjudicated by the Provincial Bid Adjudication Committee on the 25th of May, November this year. The verification was reprioritized to March 2012 due to direct engagement with the claimants during the feasibility study. The two Rycrol claimants will be offered to be accommodated in the Nooitgedacht project. Family members are still in dispute regarding the settlement option. A total of 9 million rand was paid to the community members of the three claims in Klava, with the balance to be paid by February 12, 2012, as claimants submit the outstanding documentation which is required. The matters relating to Sardin and the Protea Village projects are still matters which are in court. That, Chairperson, is a summary of the progress to date, and we are submitting this the first court report.
Thank you very much.
Can you check? Should we move to the next report?
Normally we get questions for clarity on the matters that we get here. I saw that you will get something to add to the report. Okay. Honourable members, this is an opportunity for people to raise questions. Yes, mistake.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I just wanted to find out the district seeker's claim. As far as I can remember, unfortunately I don't have the petition with me here now. But I think that was part of that, the petition. I know some of the members signed on it, but I can't remember if there was a, that's what I'm saying, I'm sorry I don't have it with me. But I know that the members from the district seeker's claim were part of the people that signed on it. I just want to verify if we are in agreement with that or not. But on the other chair, I think there is progress, as I said last time, and I'm very happy that we're receiving reports. I just hope that we will continue receiving reports, especially on those that's not finalized. Chair, and I think an important part of the restitution aspect that we're never dealing with is, you know, after resettlement, what happens to these communities? Just maybe a once or two, twice reporting on ensuring that people are happy and settled and in these settlements. We kind of seem to concentrate on they've now been settled and then we forget about the people. Especially in cases where there's problems afterwards. I know it's not so many cases in towns, but more on resettlement of farms. But if there could be there must be a follow-up with the department or strategy on after resettlement, what happens, that we also maybe in future get that.
Any other questions on this report?
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the report. And not being very familiar with land claim issues, just the thought that goes through the mind, looking at the cost of 27 million rand, looking at the historical value, and also looking at the feasibility study, which is on Constantia. Just the determination of the value, if one just could be clarified. Here on Clermont, an agreement was reached by the city council to release the land at the cost of 27 million rand, and also there on Goodwood and so on, communal property. There's a mentioning being made about the human settlement releasing the land, the five properties rather, at a historical value, which are just clarity on those values. Could it be the present value? I see there it says historical value. I'm sure one would be a lot more learned coming out of here about those land claim issues.
They emphasize on the price without telling us what the size is. Remember that you normally give us how many hectares, how many beneficiaries, then the price. This time you put the price first and you neglect the beneficiaries and the size. The size does count on this matter.
Confirmed for me, Chairperson, that it may well be that some of the signatories are themselves District 6 claimants, but they were not, that the petition is not concerning District 6.
The state is right. There was a group of people who were not claiming land, because the land has already been claimed. They did join the petition for two reasons. The first reason was that they had noticed that there was development taking place on District 6 land without the involvement of the claimant. There was a second thing, that there was also a breakaway group that wanted to represent a section of the claimant, because they did not have any confidence in the trust. We thought that matter was going to be handled by the department. But we thought that legally, they were correct if there was any development taking place on District 6 where the claimants were not involved. So I think the question is therefore correct. If you don't include, or we would have assumed that matter has now been settled or being handled differently. But if you are not saying anything about it, then it looks like you are ignoring it.
Honorable Chair, there is work being done, and I'm going to ask Mr. Rosny, who was at the district meeting even last night, dealing with some of the issues the chairperson raised and the meetings that they've had with the minister. I think Mr. Rosny can report to provide feedback on that as well.
Chairperson, is very considerable work taking place in District 6. It involves...
That's by saying why you exercising District 6 report, progress reports from this when it is in the petition.
I think it was an oversight, Chairperson. You were corrected. So there is very considerable work taking place in relation to District 6. It involves all of the major stakeholders involved in the redevelopment ideal of District 6. The province, the city, and national departments who are engaged are all working very well, and including the District 6 Trust, are involved in a task team that is about to implement very seriously major return of the all of the claimants as per presidential announcement in February this year that they should all return by the end of 2013, or 36 months from February this year. That task team is functioning extremely well. It was being chaired by the previous deputy minister and is now under the chairpersonship of our minister, and the work is, seems to be progressing very well indeed, with great pace. And it, the major issue is that we've got all of the role players in place now, and there seems to be general agreement. There are specifics that are still being debated, but general agreement about the delivery of the business plan. That is now going into a public participation phase where stakeholders, broader stakeholders, will be able to give input into the proposals which have been put forward in the business plan. So I think that that does represent a very significant progress.
Thank you.
Chairperson, on the question of valuation, I'm going to ask Mr. Smith to respond on the difference between historical and actual valuations and how those valuations are done.
Thank you, Chairperson. In the case of Claremont, that was current market, that's current market value. The valuation from the City of Cape Town was 45 million, and the valuation done by the RR Regional Landscape Commission was 27 million. And therefore, the agreement was reached that they will release the land at our valuation. In terms of claimants that can be accommodated, it's 1.7 hectares. So it's going to be a high rise apartment, and it's about 60 claimants that can be accommodated on in that project. In terms of the historical value, that is restoration. So the agreement with the Department of Human Settlements, the provincial, is that they will release the land at the same value as they purchased it when at dispossession. So we talk about amounts of 8,000 rand, because that is the amount that they actually paid, that they, because they received the land from the Housing Board, and that is the amount that the Housing Board paid to the claimants when they were dispossessed. So that is the same amount that we must pay to the Department of Human Settlements. So that's the historical value. Thank you.
And then, Chairperson, in terms of the other question around the size of the...
BG, this other one was not a question. Expressing hope that next time the other section of the department will provide what are the plans for retailees. So we'll get that report.
Jefferson, is it strictly on District 6 or overall among all retailing claimants?
What happens after the settlement? So all you have to do is to include that section in the report next time. Thank you very much. There are no further questions, no follow-ups. And because of that, we'll move on to the next report. Telling us that these processes that you have been explaining to us can go beyond 2013. In the report you gave us last week, you said this work can go beyond 2013. I was looking at this report you're giving us now, trying to find why they will delay after that when you are actually saying these things are progressing very well and we think that you are progressing well, but why do they have to go beyond 2013?
So, Chairperson, I alluded to the fact last week, because there's a process like subdivision, and if you go and subdivide the rezoning of land, and then there must be public participation processes and that can actually, because you must actually do it. So, and then also sometimes, some cases, claimants don't agree for the settlement, the extent of the land and the areas, and that is the negotiations and family disputes. Because only visual pleasure that can actually, that some of the things that we must anticipate always if you settle a claim. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. I think the idea was to anticipate that, as experience has shown, that there are sometimes challenges as you implement this settlement agreement. But Chairperson, that does not mean that the department will stop from doing everything it can to settle this even before those timelines. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then we go to the next report.
Honourable Chair.
Where is the young man? You must call him.
Thank you, Chair.
Oversight visits to KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. more specifically in the areas of Mzila and Mzila. Key recommendations were then made to the department, so this presentation will aim to respond to those recommendations. Recommendation A said that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as the initiator and catalyst, should strengthen the institutional arrangements under the CRDP in both Mzila and Mzila to deal with problems of lack of consultation and joint planning by various government departments. Now, the department then is continuing in terms of the institutionalization of the Council of Stakeholders in these areas. What we do in terms of this is that every household is profiled, and we try through the different structures that we create, like your village sector committees and within the ward representation itself, to ensure that each household is represented at some level within the Council of Stakeholders. We also have grassroots consultations and participation of the communities in our development efforts. Now, a lot of this is done through the participatory rural appraisal processes and the interactions that we have with the community as we develop the final priority list and what becomes then their development priorities for that area. The interface then with government departments is also grounded within the village sector committee as well as within the councils of stakeholders, because the councils of stakeholders are made up of the relevant government sector departments, the local municipality, the district municipality, the community, and the leadership within community, including your traditional leadership. And private sector bodies can also be included in that particular council of stakeholders. We're giving them an example. For example, in the Eastern Cape, we have collaboration between the Department of Rural Development and Agriculture and the Department of Agriculture in that province. The two departments meet monthly in terms of recommendations that have been made by Minister Nkwinti and the Eastern Cape Premier. There is a program steering committee that has also been established in Mkhonto, chaired by the municipality manager and co-chaired by the Office of the Premier. And like I said, councils of stakeholders exist then in both Mzila in KZN as well as in Mkhonto and other CRDC sites in the country. Now, the intention everywhere is that a plan is developed with that community in terms of a priority list or need of what is required in that area, and that then is used as the tool which guides the interventions that are needed in an area. Okay, if I move to the next recommendation, the second recommendation B listed that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, collaboratively with the Department of Agriculture and other active players in the CRDP, should find mechanisms that build capacity and common understanding about what CRDP is and what it aims to achieve over a certain period of time. Now, what we are saying is that through Outcome 7, we are also implementing to a large extent many of the principles of the CRDP. And we are interfacing constantly then at a national level, at a provincial level, and at a local level with all of the different government departments and government sectors. And the Department of Agriculture, nationally and provincially, play leading roles in terms of even being drivers of the different outputs. So we are institutionalizing the thinking behind CRDP and the working of the program and the principles themselves through these different implementation forums. In the technical implementation forum that reports to the political executive implementation forum, which is chaired by the minister, we explain constantly the different principles found in the CRDP. We are constantly reviewing what is happening with the Comprehensive Rural Development Program and trying to strengthen that policy together with our partners in agriculture and other sector departments. obviously, this is still work in progress as we go along. But good progress to date has been made. We've also created information portals for the CRDP projects that we are working on. We have synchronized or attempting to synchronize carefully our planning processes between all the different sector departments. In fact, we are busy even as we speak with an entire planning process with the districts that we will align then or make sure is aligned in terms of the IDP. A CRDP concept document that was originally approved in 2009 has been distributed to all of the different stakeholders, and we regularly also then make sure that they get access to the progress report and information booklets that are presented, prepared for CRDP. With the assistance from the department, then agriculture also provides a skills development in terms of household profiling at the grassroots level. Then the recommendation C asked for clarification of roles and responsibilities among the stakeholders and role players, particularly the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the Provincial Department of Agriculture. Now, clearly from the beginning that we started to implement the CRPP, there has been the challenge in terms of making sure that the roles between the two departments are clear and that each one then could be accountable for certain spheres. And if you note the CRPP management system, it clarifies then the role of the minister as national oversight in terms of the comprehensive rural development program. Then the minister has passed on provincial oversight to the premiers of provinces who have passed that on to the MECs for agriculture and rural development in the provinces. So MECs at provincial level have oversight over the CRPP. And remember the different mechanisms that we would use to implement the CRPP can, for example, be through Outcome 7 and through other delivery mechanisms that we use. And the MECs then drive those processes for us. The district mayors then, at a district level, will take responsibility and accountability for actual implementation together with the local sphere, local municipality level. So that is the way in which there is interaction between the different government departments. But we've also been having engagements with the Provincial Department of Agriculture, the HODs and the CFOs, with the National Department of Agriculture, Fisheries, Forestry and Fisheries, and with Treasury, so that we also align the budgets and the processes that we follow between ourselves, so that there is clear linkages between the work that we have to do and what happens in each of the provinces. And then obviously the institutional system that we've set in place for Outcome 7 also again clearly separates the roles of the two departments. And all of the MECs for agriculture and rural development in the provinces form a key part of the executive implementation forum that we have created for Outcome 7. And the technical forums then include the heads of departments of the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. In terms of recommendation D, it was around social mobilization and stakeholder engagement again. Success of rural development initiatives depends on buy-in by local stakeholders and more importantly by the beneficiaries themselves. The committee recommends that the department intensify its community mobilization aspect of the rural development so that the outcomes are informed by the real needs of the rural poor and not what development agencies and government departments think that the poor people need. Now, indeed, the structure of the Council of Stakeholders, like I've explained, necessitates the involvement and inclusion of communities in the planning, implementation, and oversight of projects. The fundamental approach of CRDP is to ensure that this is development that is driven by communities and not by government. Government's role is in terms of supporting and ensuring that as the communities identify their priorities, we work together in terms of ensuring that they are implemented. Social mobilization and social profiling has been intensively done with households and other key stakeholders in the country. Again, one of the starting points of the Comprehensive Rural Development Program is the status quo of the area, but then a detailed house-by-house profiling so that we understand the need of every household in that particular place. To date, approximately 47,000 households have already been profiled and 96 rural wards in the country. And councils of stakeholders have been established in all CRDP sites to date. Now, what we are saying as a department that we need to improve in our monitoring of the community involvement in all of these processes so that we can also strengthen our own processes and our own policy. Because sometimes you set up a policy, the intention is clear, but we need to make sure that what we intend is really happening on the ground. And we are doing that with our monitoring and evaluation unit at the moment. In terms of recommendation E, it says that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform needs to submit a plan of action for revitalization of land reform projects in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. Now, we have a detailed project list for the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal for projects that have been identified for recapitalization and where work is already in progress. In addition to the actual land reform project, we've also been revitalizing irrigation schemes in the country. Four irrigation schemes have been approved for implementation in the Eastern Cape. I may say the names incorrectly, but I think it's Ngoka, Cape Kama, Vilachi, Gamata, and Makwa. And four irrigation schemes are being implemented in KZN, Tugela Ferry, Nkamalala, Mulewana, and Makatini. In terms of recommendation F, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform was to produce and submit a business plan for CRDP so that Parliament is able to track progress on what is being tested with the pilot project that we were implementing. Now, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, after conducting the status quo analysis, household and community profiling, produces for each of the areas a specific plan for the work of, and that's how I explain. Those plans then are adopted at the level of the community and the council of stakeholders and then become the blueprint for development. Implementation of those plans are being monitored by the council of stakeholders and regular feedback should be provided in the established structures. Now again, when I say established structures, they are adopted at the level of councils of stakeholders. They then get also adopted and are monitored at the level of the provincial structures that are created, and then ordinarily those reports should also then come via outcome 7 in terms of the work that we are doing. After having piloted in 9 sites in the country, we are now implementing full-scale rollout to all rural wards in the country. Now, what we have done now is that we have prioritized, in terms of the Lokota decision, the 22 districts of the country. And we are working then on developing per district a comprehensive rural development plan, which will include all the needs of those districts and all of the interventions that are being made by the various sector departments into that. In addition, all of the lessons that we've been learning from the pilot have been utilized to improve our policies today. We've also developed an annual performance plan with quarterly and annual targets that will ensure monitoring and evaluation of project performance. And outcome 7 reports then also have a inclusion of all of the targets that we've set in the different areas as a department. In terms of adequate capacity within the provinces to deal with CRDP, the recommendation read, the department and implementing champions to ensure that there is enough capacity within the province to be able to implement the CRDP pilot and document the lessons effectively. Now, like I've explained, we've gone beyond the pilots. We've started in Diani, and we are now trying to roll out in the 22 cabinet-identified district municipalities. Now, as we interact with the provincial departments and the local spheres within the technical forum, we identify then the critical areas for intervention in terms of strengthening capacity of the district and provincial CRDP champions. We are also currently finishing the advertising and placement of officials within our own department from the structure that has been approved. And in addition, the Green Paper on Rural Development is being finalized, which will also identify further some of the skills that are required for us to implement a full-scale rural development program for the country. MNE has been documenting lessons then learned on the CRDP site, and where we are seeing weaknesses, we are then engaging so that we can begin to deal with those weaknesses. Some of those weaknesses, obviously, at a local and district level, do entail the issue of skills and capacity within district and local municipalities, as well as within the level of community. And then we have skills programs that we are working on in terms of strengthening those who engage within the council of stakeholders. And like I explained, within the broader district, 22 district plan, we will have a clear skills and institutional development program as well. Chair, those are the recommendations that were raised with the department, and those are our responses. But like I've indicated, we do have then also detailed reports on the various projects that were visited and the issues raised on those projects. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, DJ.
Chair, I can only just simply amplify on the points that have been made. Again, I have raised this at this committee. One of the challenges that we continue to grapple with is the challenge of coordinating across spheres of government, which has been correctly identified by the portfolio committee as an area in which we should be putting an effort on. You will see that there are three forums where we report. There's the outcome 7 forum, which meets on a quarterly basis and report on the progress that we are doing with other departments. But outcome 7 is not just about the work that we do as a Department of Rural Development and then report. So when we report, for instance, Chair, about irrigation schemes in the Eastern Cape and KZN,
it is not the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform that is making all that money available. In some instances, the National Department of Agriculture will provide the funding. Sometimes the provincial departments of agriculture will have the resources. So there is that issue of complementing each other between those two departments. I think in that regard, that part of our work is improving, particularly when it comes to outcome number 7. The second critical area, Chair, which is raised in the report itself, is the question of capacity and adequate funding. This problem bedevils many of our provincial government departments, namely your rural development and agriculture. You would find that the only thing they create sometimes in the provinces is a structure for rural development. But in terms of their votes, all their money is for agriculture. There's little for land reform. What then helps is that the work of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform cuts across all functions of government so that we are even able to implement agricultural related programs together with those provinces. In the Free State, for instance, they've created a Department of Rural Development. But for them to be able to do anything, they have to work together with the Assistant Department of Agriculture and work with us at the national level so that we can pool the resources. Similarly, in other provinces, KwaZulu-Natal, in the Eastern Cape, the challenge of the additional resources for the departments of agriculture, I mean of rural development and agriculture in the provinces, it's one of those that will have to be addressed over time. Again, it's this question of having to them in the provinces. If the MEC is the overall coordinator of rural development and the HOD must chair a technical implementation forum, then they need to convince their provincial counterparts in transport, in public works, in health, in basic education, in their own provinces to come to the party. Because we do the same thing at a national level. So we expect them at a provincial level to do that. So it does pose a challenge, this responsibility of being a leader among equals. It requires us to be able to be innovative in getting other departments to share a similar idea with us. I thought I would add on those, Chair.
Honourable members, there's an opportunity for us to raise questions on the report presented to us. Thank you. DG, I know that your other guys have been released with our permission. Who is the owner of the land that the department bought for 27 million and 1.7 hectares? Do you recall, Chief? Is it state land or private land?
See, I can confirm the report, but from what I heard from Mr. Smith, the land was acquired from the city.
City of Cape Town?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I also want to thank the board members. Chair, I think I want to start with the last comment by the DG about the coordination. And I got the impression when we went through this thing, it's a tick-the-box exercise. You know, answering our questions, which is what we asked for. But I think also the department must remember that we actually visited these areas, and that's why we asked the questions in the first place. So on that specific question of the coordination, I can't remember which recommendation it was, C or D or where it was, but it was had to do with the Council of Stakeholders and the social mobilization and the working together of the department. Oh, I think it's here, this one. C, it says institutional system for outcome 7 also clearly separates the roles of the two departments in agriculture and whatever. So it's a nice sentence. But I think what we want to know, Chairperson, when we ask for responses of what is happening on the ground, is linking basically to what the DG ended off with. We want to know specifically on these projects that we visited, what is currently the status there? Is there coordination? Is it not happening? I know the nice broad sentences, this is what is needing to happen, but is it happening? Because I remember specifically in the Eastern Cape, when we went there last time, it was that site where there was a flag that was thrown for a house because the deputy president or someone was coming to come and visit, and then they just left it like that. I want to express a bit of a frustration with getting a report with nice words, like if it's a strategic plan or a year-end document or something that tells us what are we supposed to do in a perfect world, this is what is happening, while it's actually a reporting on places that we physically visited and know what the circumstances is in. So I don't know, Chair, if I'm having the wrong expectation from what we wanted out of the report. But I'm a bit frustrated that we know more. We don't know anything more from this area. We know what's in the strategic plan, what is the vision, what needs to happen, but we still don't know if anything changed in that area out of this. So, Chairperson, on that, it's not the first time that we hear that there's quarterly reports that I'm sure must go to Cabinet or to someone else, the Minister, on Outcome 7. When are we going to get this? Because we're asking for these details. I still don't even know what is the 22 districts that were identified. We keep on talking about these things, but I think as a portfolio, or at least myself, I'm a bit frustrated because we get the same words and words all over again and no more detail and assistance. Chair, there was another question on basically the same trend, but what happens if this business plan was written, you decided this is what's going to happen and it doesn't happen? In this outcomes-based, is there a contract that's been signed with the HODs? We have now decided together that this is what we're going to achieve. It's not achieved at the end of the first quarter. It's not achieved second quarter. What then? What happens? Everyone just goes back home and get happy and get a bonus at the end of the year? Or what happens? Is there something in that agreement to keep people to the agreement? Then, Chair, just a question on slide 7 with the irrigation schemes, Makwa. I'm not sure. Is that the tea plantation, or is that a different thing? Because if it's the tea plantation, I know that about 2 weeks ago I read in the Eastern Cape newspapers that there was a strike by the workers there because they weren't paid. Apparently, the Department of Agriculture in the Eastern Cape was supposed to pay the workers, or there was another 10 million or 5 million rand bailout that need to happen. So are we now implementing the irrigation scheme, but the people that need to work there is not being paid, they're on strike for that, I don't know how many times. It's a case again of working with linkers, because we are doing the thing without looking at this as a integrated whole concept. So I just want to check if that is the irrigation scheme, if that is the plantation. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. And I would like to appreciate the department for the responses that were given. I would also like to get the breakdown of the district municipalities per province, so that we are able to make a proper follow-up when we go to our constituencies and we know exactly what is happening. The other issue, Chairperson, is to just say, I know the department is very, very excited about the NARISEC issue. And I'm very inquisitive to try and understand of this rollout that is taking place, where does the NARISEC feature? And I know it's a long talk, but if we can be able to understand per province about the NARISEC, what is happening? Are they part of the whole program on the responses, or what is happening? Because by the time we did our oversight, we got to see young people that are on the NARISEC program, that most of them were sort of frustrated, like Mrs. Stein, doing nothing. And they'll tell you that they are just picking up papers. They don't know exactly whether they are coming or going. If that can be clarified to us so that we understand what is it exactly that is happening about this excitement about NARISEC when on the ground is the opposite. Thank you, Chairperson.
Elam lengcinci nje bendinqonela ukwazi on the aspect of this CRDP we particularly to the Eastern Cape we were out there on oversight and visited different areas there, but seemingly what we found was that there was a lacking of a coordinated effort where the things were being championed by ASGISA or being championed by Intinga. Unlike what we've seen in Kiani and Reinforcement, where there's a full coordinated plan and you can see that this is a well-run CRDP project. I therefore want to know, in the Eastern Cape in particular, where is the CRDP being implemented? In what area, what, where can we find it and locate it and say this is a CRDP project, if there is any? There is talks of the River Valley N2 project. We still haven't had an understanding of what that is. Is that a CRDP project? If you could just brief us on that. Thanks.
Kodwa ke ngoku nangomo ungandeli awuphelela otitshe Mr. You wanted a second bite?
Yes, Chairperson, I just wanted to clarify my frustration. If we go to slide 8, recommendation F. The recommendation was the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to produce and submit a business plan for CRDP so that the Parliament is able to track progress and being tested. And if you go to the previous one, 7, it says also that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform submit a plan of action on the revitalization. That's why I'm saying, Chair, we keep on asking, give us the plans. I think I'm linking to what Honourable Mandela was asking here also. We don't want to hear that there's a plan and it's being presented quarterly and whatever. We want that so that we can go out on the
go to the file. It's in the file.
Yes, but I can't find the file, Chair. That's the problem. So I think that is the frustration that we are sitting with. We don't know. We are on the ground in the communities. We don't want to go on oversight once a year as part of the portfolio. We want to go to the areas to go and see what's going on there. But we can't because we don't know where it is.
Honorable Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the report. I guess the point has been raised about either coordination or collaboration. Whilst it may be an issue for us as committees, equally it really has to be an issue for the departments themselves. You know, case in point here is the RAM program in the Eastern Cape. The RAM for the wool production. Whilst you are going to have Eastern Cape Department of Agriculture putting a stop to that program, and then Rural Development Land Reform Department kicks in and helps the farmers. Now, equally here, you know, with these irrigation schemes, Noha, Bilaki, and I think Kamaka. When we went there on an oversight visit, the Department of Agriculture, having started a process which never went anywhere, but again, rural development land reform kicks in. There are two things that are likely going to happen there. Either you're going to have a serious issue of competition, not complementing, not collaborating, if there is no coordination within departments themselves. And the second issue relates to the settlement raised by Mr. Stain. And for me, once again, in so far as culture is concerned, there is so much emphasis on post-settlement support programs. Very little being said about pre-settlement support programs. I would imagine here, when one seeks to understand, because people out there get confused all the time, you get all sort of inquiries, you know, no, one land here, one land there, and so on and so forth. For that land, we cannot access, and so on. And then I always tell them, no, you know, Comrade Stone is a person to talk to. For me, as far as my understanding, really understanding is concerned, whilst the land is not in your name or in anybody's name, it is still either in one white person's name or government's name. You cannot do anything. That's where rural development land reform comes in. But once the land is now transferred, ready for tilling, agriculture comes in. Once again, the issue for me here that I'm trying to lay emphasis on talks more to pre- and post-settlement. Because even when you are to say, here is a piece of land, then the current department talks about post-settlement support. That's whether you have, as rural development land reform, a pre-settlement support, so that when that person settles in that piece of land, at least that person has an idea of where to go. So that you don't find many of these programs that are there, land reform programs, failing, which gets to be the case on a number of occasions. Thanks.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. Chair, we certainly do not want the Honourable Member frustrated with us. We just have to find some way of understanding the kind of reports that are required at a particular given time. With regard to this particular report, there were specific recommendations made by the committee. We then attempted to respond directly to the specific recommendations without providing project-specific details. But Honourable Chair, I think about two or three weeks ago, we were here in this room where we presented Outcome 7 report. we've got to find a better way of reporting to the committee so that there isn't, there aren't these gaps of information. The second one, Chairperson, there is a specific recommendation about the business plan. Honourable Chair, we report to this committee for the first time this financial year. We tabled an APP which sets out targets, outputs, specific activities in different parts of the country, whether it's land acquisition, whether it's a list of recap projects, whether it's a list of irrigation schemes we are going to be working on. We just want to make sure that the business plan we are discussing is over and above the plans we tabled here, on which we are supposed to be reporting to the committee on a quarterly basis, Chairperson, as we have been requested by yourself. We are happy to do that, so that we can even bring in the project-specific detail when we record on a quarterly basis, as has been agreed with the committee. I thought I would clarify those first. When we reported on the MOU, on the Outcome 7 report, one of the recommendations, one of the things we reported to the committee was that we have sat down with the presidency to evaluate whether this outcome-based approach is working, what are the challenges. One of the things we reported at the time was that we have agreed that we will now sign MOUs, Honorable State, with heads of departments. We are not going to have gentlemen's agreement that this one will do that one will do that. So we will now reduce that. We said we'll be embarking upon that exercise now, before the end of this calendar year. I think we have specific target dates. I can't recall the date exactly. So we are pursuing that, Honorable Chair. I will ask my colleague to speak later to the breakdown on the districts, whether there's information we can furnish immediately. But it's available on NARISEC. Certainly, NARISEC is part and parcel of the plan, Honorable Chair. I hope we can share the excitement about NARISEC with the Honorable Members. There are currently 5,300 youngsters in 35 FET colleges across the country receiving NQF 2 and NQF 3 housing construction and civil construction training. They are going to finish in December. In January, we are going to be working with them when they begin to do their practical work now in these 22 districts that we are talking about, where they are going to be doing on-the-job training in the rural wards from where they come. Among other things, they will be constructing youth hubs, they will be constructing houses, and so on, in various aspects of training. That won't be the last training. Currently, there's 300 of them that are at the Saldanha Naval Base that are receiving 300 training, because the Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries raised the issue of the failing farms. We want to train some of these youngsters to help us in monitoring the work that is happening on these farms, so that we don't buy fences today and tomorrow they are gone. We buy livestock, they get delivered, but when you get there, they're no longer livestock. So we are trying to come up with a monitoring program as government invests this money in these areas. Somebody beyond the farmer or the beneficiary must be watching what is happening on the ground. So that is what NARISEC, among other things, they will be doing. Currently, there's also 850 of them that are trained in the department across the country on records management. They have been trained how to use computers. They are scanning documents. They are filing documents in our registry so that if somebody one day decides to take away some files, these files are not only sitting in hard copies, but they are sitting somewhere off-site in electronic version. so that documents don't disappear, they don't get to age and disappear. So that's one of the work. In the work that we are doing in disaster management, there have also been deployed about 112 of them, 102 of them deployed on the ground. So we see their activities far more diverse than we used to see them before. We see them involved in various areas of our work. We are hoping, Chair, that one of the things we want to do with the NARISEC Young Staff is that we reach an understanding with our sister department. For instance, where the Department of Basic Education is going to be building early childhood centers in rural areas, or they are going to be replacing mass schools with new schools. We are hoping that we will assist the Young Stars together with the Department of Trade and Industry to form themselves into these construction co-ops where they directly engage in the construction of these schools when the Department of Basic Education replaces my schools. We do the same thing with the Department of Public Works. We do the same thing with the Department of Health and so on and so on. So those are some of the ideas we have. Once they are trained, they do all the job training, we organize them institutionally. In constructing roads beyond just putting tar roads, they are going to be doing the tiling of these roads in these rural wards. Obviously, we will have to work again with national and provincial departments of agriculture, of transport, to ensure that these youngsters are engaged. I hope we will circumvent the difficult tender processes when the youngsters want to engage in this kind of work on the ground. Those in broad terms were the other questions. I will invite my colleague, Ms. Aishari, to respond to the specific details of the district municipalities and any other issue, and if that may be outstanding, and then Mr. Masangu on the REM project that the chair of agriculture has raised. It's a serious issue, but I will invite Mr. Masangu to speak specifically on those three areas that the chair identified.
Thanks, DG. Chair, members, in terms of the 22 districts, I think what we will need to do is to just give you a full progress report in terms of what is happening in the 22 districts. But in terms of the names, I can already begin to give you the names immediately. In Eastern Cape, we have Alfred and Zoe, Oa Tambo, Chris Harney. Is that fine?
Can you take 22 right about now?
No, I'm saying I just mentioned them. But we'll give you them in the details.
Yeah. Chris Hani, Joe Thali, and then we added Amatole. In the Northern Cape, we have John Taolo Kaitsewe. In Limpopo, we have Greater Sekukuni, Capricorn, Zembe, and Mopani. In Northwest, we have Ngaka Modiri Molema and Dr. Ruth Sekomotsi Mopati. In KwaZulu-Natal, which nearly all the districts in KwaZulu-Natal are covered in terms of the program, in Zululand, Sisonke, Amajube, Utugela, Ugu, Mkanyakude, Mzaniati, Ilembe, and Utungulu, and then in Mpumalanga is Eshlanzeni. What I will give Chair in a written format is the full detail of the work that has happened per each one in terms of the planning process that we've been engaging with in terms of the 22 districts. And maybe just a last comment, I think in terms of what DG was saying in terms of the coordination with them, especially in Mklontlo, we do acknowledge there has been a real challenge from the beginning in Mklontlo. And I think the issue has been raised that the Eastern Cape had been moving with a particular kind of rural development strategy. And we have been trying to ensure that there is alignment between what has been happening in the Eastern Cape and the CRDP policy as a whole. You would have noted in Mklontlo, for example, a lot of focus was only on agriculture and not on any other of the aspects of the CRDP. And we are trying now to remedy that and realign them with the full work of a full scope of the CRDP.
Thanks, DG, thanks, Chair, Honorable Members. I will attempt to respond to this, the first Wula project. The details are very sketchy, Chair, to be we don't duplicate, like the member was saying, whether we complement or we compete. It's never a competition, but it's a question of us piggybacking because of the resources. Here, the fact is that the agriculture may not have necessary resources in order to take this project forward, so we're coming in order to assist them. Just like maybe in the irrigation schemes, initially this project is a tough project where they started all the irrigation scheme, but again, because of the lack of resources, they called upon us to come and assist. And ideally, the irrigation schemes are happening in the 22 districts, which means it's our territory as well. So it fits in well in our program for us to assist. We go to their business plan, we don't produce new business plan, we look at what is there, and then we look at what they are, what they can afford, and then we complement where necessary. Then there was an issue again around the DAF and us when coming to cost settlement, who comes in where. Chair, we know the realities. Ideally, DAF does the post settlement, and then we always allow them space. And even if you look at our provincial committees where these projects are approved, DAF is represented. They give advice, technical expertise around what needs to be done in all projects. But again, the issue of resources is an issue. Let me make an example. All land reform projects, restitution, LRAP and PLUS, the department, which is ourselves, we are the custodians. We are basically the landlord. We've got certain fiduciary obligation to look after those processes. That is why you always see us, that hence the introduction of the recapitalization and development projects, to ensure that as much as DAF is there on those properties, but we also assist in particular with the infrastructure, and then they come in with issues like production, access to the market, and take the product there and further. Thanks, Chair.
Chair,
Chair.
There is one question from Honorable Mandela on the River Valley and two projects.
Thank you, Honourable Member. In terms of the River Valley project, or the River Valley N2 project, it is not a project outside of the CRDP. It is simply a smaller type of project that is being used in terms of massifying food production in particular areas. It is a very brand new concept that we are wanting to test, so we are still in the planning phase of that. And one of the areas identified for testing has been the Mbezo Ludondolo areas, because of the major projects that we are doing within the CRDP in that area. And then we will identify together with other departments like agriculture and water affairs, other areas in the country where we can test this particular model. But it falls within the principles of the CRDP and not outside. Thank you.
What we are trying to do with this one, Chair, is that we are trying to take advantage of our scarce natural resources in the form of water, which are flowing into the seas without any real serious harvesting. So we are focusing on the major rivers, Mtavuna and other major areas where across the country there are these rivers, yet there are no dams that benefit agriculture. That's the whole idea that we're thinking of. I hope, Chair, you will be able to show your rotary in terms of our claim of 22 districts. Our rural space in the form of those 22 districts.
We have two questions that have been raised with us on Noha. The first one is that you refuse to hand over 120 million rand to the district municipality. The second one is that you, in the irrigation scheme revitalization, you just revitalize or recapitalize one corner, not the rest. So the villagers are competing against this project because other corners are spectators while others are busy doing the work. I know I should have sent you a letter in this regard, but I needed to find out since we're here now.
Chair, Mr. Mastang, we seem to have the details on the on his fingertips on this one.
Thanks, DJ. Chair, I'll take the first part of the question, which is the release of the 120 million, and then I'll ask my colleague from the province maybe to attend to the division of where the work is supposed to be happening. We agreed and approved the business plan for the Ngoha scheme and other schemes in the Eastern Cape. However, there's also an happening. But the exact location of which part of the Ngoha the work will be happening, I'll ask my colleague to attend to that.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond to the to the out quality and allegation in a sense, because it's coming for the first time to us, just to know that we are working in certain areas and not other areas.
Excuse me, can I enlighten you?
Yes,
we were invited by the prophets to attend their provincial Lehutla in the district municipality. Mr. Koyo was there. He raised the matter. There was also a chief from that area was there. They raised the matter. It's not a rumor or anything. I don't deal with rumors at all. They specifically indicated that the way the irrigation scheme is being revitalized is creating competition among the villagers, because one corner is being revitalized when the rest of other villages are spectators.
If I think it would be probably appropriate for us
for me to write you a letter.
Not only that,
not only
that Chair to receive the letter, but for us to do that investigation and respond, give an informed response to the committee rather than what we think is the situation. Especially because our colleague is saying she's receiving that information for the first time. That would be my appeal.
I have no problem with that, Chief. You see, Ms. Stein is also again correct. If we had a business plan in front of us of the allegation, when the allegation comes to us, we can then say to the people bringing the allegation, here is the plan. It is not possible that one corner is being revitalized and the rest are spectators, because we would have evidence in front of us. Now we have got nothing, and we get pulled to this side and that side and that side, and it doesn't work well. For instance, now, DG, you say in Moha, 120 million rand has been made available after a business plan has been approved and a strategic partner has been appointed. We don't have that information. Even there, when I got the call from Mr. Koyo, because the minister was in the province, and Mr. Koyo was trying to get hold of the minister, and he could not get hold of the minister, he phoned me. I couldn't help both of them. But if I had a document in front of me, I would have said, Mr. Koyo, you have a disclaimer. The Auditor General says you cannot get this money because it will go and close the gaps that you have created. The money is going to go to the strategic partner. I would have been happy to give him that answer. But I didn't have the information because you guys keep the business plan with yourselves. It doesn't help us to help you in making your work easier. And it's not about how many frustrations we have every day. It's about us being able to respond to questions raised to us. Thank you very much. I know we get paid and in the payment, there's a telephone allowance given to us to make the telephone calls. But if we can avoid telephone calls by getting this business plan, it will be easier. Thank you, DG. You want to close the matter on that note? Mr. Hill.
Chair, for interest, I just want to know if that house was ever bought that was not finished.
Please, is the house now?
Yes,
Chair. The old lady
has moved into the house with her grandchildren. In addition, we've also done follow-up with human settlements on the other houses that had to be built, and that is also under progress right now. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Now we have not received any further questions, no follow-up, nothing. So we move on to the NYDA. Seeing that you're speaking for the first time, I will allow.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of youth, I just want to check how many people And what about the gender? Thank you.
You were talking about another sec. Yes, okay. Please. The figure of 5,300 at naval base and so on. Again, it's attesting to the point. She would not ask that question if we had the information with us. But once you add that, teaching, I'm getting disturbed. In the KZN part of the report, when we visited Msinga, we traveled extensively within Msinga. We discovered that another area where the irrigation scheme started in the village. Was it still in Msinga that they came good?
You remember
the former acting commissioner from KZN? The one who resigned went to the private sector. We met him for the first time there. Come here. Yeah, we met him for the first time there.
Showe.
Was it a Showe?
No,
not like a Showe. Where we heard for the first time that in KZN they operate on the basis of one village, one project. Remember, we went to the electrification. We went to the irrigation scheme. We went to the, what is the other one we went to? You recall now? I think we were not at the show. We were at Adam Singer. That's right. Now, the question relates to one village, one project. The committee visited Malawi, and the concept of one village, one project comes from Japan. Been exported from Japan to Malawi, and your minister, together with the deputy minister, in this room, challenged the committee to visit Malawi to go and have a look specifically at the youth development aspect of that project. So we visited Malawi, and we saw what one village, one product relates to. So when we visited KZN, we were told about one village, one project. Mm-hmm. Now, here is my question, which relates to Mshonfa as well, ma'am. I'm scared that their one village, one project program may negate the principles and practice of CRDP. Because if you say one village, one project, it means it's one department that will get involved in partnership with the municipality. No other departments will be invited. For instance, there where we were, the irrigation part was in another part of the village. The school was in another village. The electrification, remember the minister just recently went to switch on the electricity? It is another village. So it's not like the village where you have an irrigation scheme does have electricity, doesn't have. But because it's one village, one project, so you will put irrigation here, you put electrification there, you put a school in the other one, and so on. Now, for us, it negates the CRDP.
Chair.
The reason why I'm asking this question, Chief, when we visit, we go with on the basis that you said to us, you're no longer going to dish out pieces of land and dump it in the hands of the people. All land reform, restitution, all other forms of land distribution will be done with the principles of CRT. That's what you said to us. Now, on the basis of that, the spectacles that we wear when we go to any of these visits for oversight, we're looking at what CRDP means to these people. You remember, there is a question generally asked by all South Africans.
What does freedom mean to somebody who's a farm dweller or farm worker or a person in the village? So for us, we're not asking what the freedom means. We're saying what CRDP means, what rural development means to this particular community. So we just don't want to verify whether they have been given hectares of land. We want to check. If this question is too broad and general, you could go back and give us the answer in writing, DG. I'm not in a hurry to get this. I'm just saying the gist of the report that you are responding to is not about ticking boxes. It's about whether CRTP is being followed in the same manner like the chair here next to me saying pre-settlement, post-settlement. But he's also talking within the context of CRTP.
Chair, thank you very much. We will not claim to have a ready-made answer. Because this is the point we tried to make earlier on about integration and coordination. Because if there was that, we would eliminate those parallel projects where you go to some of the villages like in Singa and they tell you that yesterday this government department was here, today we are here, tomorrow somebody else will come. It's exactly in line with the recommendations that the committee has made to us. We say intensify your work around mobilization at local level so that there's at least a community structure where government departments are represented, where we are able to put our resources. We are not there yet, we will not claim it. We are not yet there yet. It's a lot of work that we need to do in that particular area.
And that, on that note, it's fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm worried that the NYDA is going to be chasing aeroplanes quickly. It's 12 o'clock now, and we need to finish at half past 12. And this DG is here with us all the time, so we can get him again to ask him further questions. But NYDA operates from Pretoria and Johannesburg and Durban. They rarely visit us in Cape Town. So we would like to have more time with them. Thank you very much, DG. I would really appreciate it. I know that my co-chair here is interested in raising you further questions, but remember that there was a report here about ewes and rams for wool in the Eastern Cape. The chair here wants a report. Is what progress? What is the strategy? What is implemented? What is the progress in that regard? I also have a most ma'am from the Eastern Cape. Ungahambi from Tedena. Singade siku invite for tea. Please. DG, dinner, lunch is served. We want to talk to you. NYDA, please come.
So on the day of the ceremony, this guy is not smiling. A speech after speech after speech, and he's not smiling. And he asked, before he gets embarrassed, he asked him, "Why are you not smiling? Are you not happy with this increment and all this?" He asked, "Where are the people I'm going to be in charge of?" So he realized hollow power does not mean anything. This is bribery. The DG has 5,300 young people inside the department that are being trained in various fields. I'm assuming that you're supposed to be part of your collaboration with the various departments. We'll talk about that later, but make a presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the...
You would be kind to us. My name is Stone Cesar. I'm with Mr. Lulu Johnson, Honorable Lulu Johnson, who is the Chair of the Portfolio Committee responsible for agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. So if they dish out fish quotas, they also sell forests. They all the sawmills and so on under their command. They also deal with agriculture, like your 14 young people that are in China on aquaculture. They are responsible for them. So you have a wide field of collaboration possibilities here in Parliament, only if you come more frequently and not stay in Johannesburg and Pretoria. The honorable member on the extreme end is Honorable Tebe Kuma. We don't normally tell people which parties they come from, the members of the Rural Development and Land Reform Committee. But he's been brought here by the Inkatha Freedom Party, but he's a member of this committee. Next to him, separated by chair, is Nkosi Mandela. He came here under the youth platform, but he's now an elder. So you cannot claim he forgot your mandate. He's not you young anymore. Next to him is Ms. Nyalunga. Ms. Nyalunga is from agriculture. But we have a joint committee today because we're really interested in both the reports that have just been finished and your report. Next to her, separated by a chair. The empty chair was occupied by Mam Kize, Ms. Kaba. I'm going to Mam Kize. I won't remind you where you should know him from. You know her from. Next to Mam Kize is Ms. Stain. Ms. Stain is a firebrand from the DA. She keeps us on the toe, but I'm happy she's keeping the department, not the portfolio committee members. We're working together here. Next to her is Ms. Twala. Ms. Twala comes from agriculture as well. She's a whip in the committee. A whip is the disciplinarian, the one who runs the discipline of the members of the committee and all other related matters. Next to her is Ms. November. Don't make a mistake, November, not December, because of Christmas. Next to her is our whip, the whip of rural development and land reform. She originally comes from Limpopo. She is from the ANC. She's in charge of all of us here. All political parties, they pay homage to her, including me, the chair of the committee. She's in charge of our lives. She makes sure we have resources. Next to me here, this is the person you need to know, even if you don't know us, the committee secretary, Ms. Nyamza, Pumla Nyamza. Nyamza. She's in charge of our lives. She makes sure we learn. She has hugely irritated by people who refuse to read. She makes sure that we read the minutes, the agenda, the documents. She emails us. And she has no time for people who cannot read an email. Next to me is Chiriro. Chilo Manenze. Manenze is the Manenji. Manenze. Why? What's wrong with that?
Manenja.
Ah.
content advisor. The work of the content advisor is the upgraded version of a researcher, but he looks at the product. Somebody will research and say, how is it aligned to the work you're doing, and give you an advice. So if your speech is hollow, he will tell you that you messed up there. You should polish on your reading. I gave you all the references, you didn't read them. Thank you very much, Chief. Up to you now. Sorry. Uban? Upepeteka, she's hiding. Come, stand up. Because you're wearing black, you are hiding. Ms. Pepeteka, Tembe, she is in charge of our research. All the research work that has to be done for both the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture and Rural Development. No, Zolambashe is a researcher of agriculture. That one is our researcher for rural development. I'm sorry I took so long, but we'll pay you by inviting you for lunch. Under the Kaila was absent, that's why. That's why. They're calling Mosin Baje, it's in Cape. Undedegeila comes from the UDM, but is a member of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forest. Ukona Lucisilo, we committee sector, and one number one. You need to know her as well, because we are in charge, or in the bar, agriculture. About Nyabando, about a farmer, said Bagan. They're responsible enough for the meeting. Nothing end to end with it. Go ahead, Chief. Up to you.
Hey, thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, for the warm welcome and the introduction. And secondly, for the invite to come before you. We read it to be meaning that this is an opportunity for more collaborations with government departments, and that is why we responded to the call. Let me quickly start by introducing the team that I have with me. My name is Stephen Benny. I am the Chief Executive Officer of the National Development Agency. To my right is Sivuwe Mukoka, who is the newly appointed Executive Manager for Research and Policy. And next to me, on my left, is Ms. Tamari Mavasa. She's the newly appointed Executive Manager for Economic Development, a unit where rural development resides. Next to her is Mr. Katu Ramukumba, a newly appointed Chief Financial Officer of the National Youth Development Agency. And next to him is Mr. Mzwandile Mawela, our parliamentary liaison. I'm sure you can see how young this team I'm introducing to you. So if you talk about firebrands, we have got fire extinguishers. Chair, without a waste of time, let me go on to our presentation. We have been invited by the Portfolio Committee as a result of the small chat we had with yourselves in Malawung. And it was during the time when you had the People Assembly, and therefore there was a need for us to come and make a presentation and speak to the NYDA's contribution towards youth development in the rural areas, and to also explore the possibilities of collaboration, as you have already alluded to it. The Portfolio Committee made a specific emphasis on our role on comprehensive rural development program. Accordingly, we welcomed the invitation, and that is why we are sitting here before you today. Well, the purpose of our presentation mainly is to outline the mandate and the purpose of existence of the National Youth Development Agency. We will take advantage of this forum to also share this important information, because many people have not yet come into grasp of why the NYDA is mainly existing. And I'm sure that
we are well better, because we know that members of parliament in their other capacities that are present here were part and parcel of the formulation of the legislation and the actual writing of that legislation. So they know exactly why the NYDA exists and what this animal is about. We can learn more lessons from them than we can actually explain. For example, next to you, the Honorable Lulu Johnson, I'm sure is quite clued up with the legislation itself, since you were involved in the formulation. But we are also to present the policies and strategies of the National Youth Development Agency with specific focus on development of youth in the rural areas. We will also highlight the activities and projects that the NYDA is involved in rural development. We will present plans for implementation or that we think should be implemented around comprehensive rural development program, of course with specific rural biasness to the rural youth focus. Quickly, the National Youth Development Agency came into being as a result of a merger between the two entities, UNSO Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission. This was after a protracted criticism on the ability of the two former organizations to actually reach to the young people, to deliver to the expectation of the youth of South Africa. And it became apparent in terms of numerous evaluations, including a committee that was put together by Parliament to evaluate the ad hoc committee that was put together to evaluate the impact that is made by the Chapter 9 institutions, which was by default extended to other institutions such as the National Youth Commission and the UIF. It was confirmed that indeed the organizations were not necessarily properly equipped to reach out there to the expectations of the young people. So the NYDA came into existence through an Act of Parliament, Act Number 54 of 2008. The National Youth Development Agency was formally launched by the President of the Republic of South Africa in June 2009 in Gauteng. In the main, the NYDA was established to mainstream and to integrate youth development across all spheres of government and all sectors of society. I want to pay specific attention to mainstream and integrate, because in most cases we use these terms. You can hear them all over in government programs, in government departments, in everybody that dares to have a platform to speak in the public. You will hear integrate, mainstream, but it's mainly used as a mere rhetoric these days. And it's very important that we understand it in the context of what the Act itself actually envisaged when these two concepts were made central. Is to mainly make youth development issues very important issues for everybody. And that means that every department must be able to take serious issues of youth development in your allocation, in your business, day-to-day business. You must always think about what is it that you're doing towards the youth of this country, and there must be quantifiable numbers and qualitative achievements that must be attained by the department in various respects. The Act also outlines the objects of existence of the NYDA, and it's very important that we talk to that. The first one is the development of the IYDS, the Integrated Youth Development Strategy or Plan. This plan is not a plan for the National Youth Development Agency, it's a plan for the country. This is what the country uses to say, 5 years, 10 years down the line, this is where we would like to see the state of youth in South Africa to be. This plan, we have already started with it. It is now being considered by Cabinet. We have consulted in all 9 provinces. We have had a national convention where 800 young people from various youth formations were also part and parcel of the convention and agreed on a certain programmatic issues that they would like to see happening in youth development. So it's one of the mandates that is fulfilled by the National Youth Development Agency as it stands. The development of guidelines for the implementation of the National Youth Policy, which was adopted in 2009 at the time of the late Honorable Manto, which was the Minister in the Office of the President. That policy has been there for quite some time. We have visited a couple of government departments, we
coordinate and evaluate and monitor all programs which are aimed at integrating the youth of the country into the economy and the society in general. We are also supposed to guide the efforts by all and sundry, be it government departments, be it private sector, civil society, which are aimed at facilitating economic participation and empowerment, as well as education and training of the youth. We are not necessarily supposed to do this on ourselves, on our own. We are not supposed to initiate education and training programs. We are not necessarily supposed to host them within the National Youth Development Agency, but to make sure that these things are happening outside there. We are also supposed to partner and assist the organs of state, the private sector, and non-governmental organizations in working towards youth development and the attainment of employment and skills development for the young people. We are supposed to initiate programs that are directed mainly towards poverty alleviation, urban and rural development, and combating crime, substance abuse, and social defeat, to promote the integrated approach to youth development by all stakeholders. And these are the main reasons why the NYDA is in existence as defined by the legislation. Our vision has been defined to be to mainstream and integrate youth development in all organs of state, private sector, civil society, for the purposes of a sustainable livelihood. Our mission, therefore, is to initiate, facilitate, implement, coordinate, and monitor youth development interventions which are mainly aimed at reducing unemployment and promoting social cohesion. Because Zulu says, umthende ugotshwa usemanzi. Yeah. I'm Shangana, I'm taking chances. I'm taking chances. I was hoping there is no Zulu person. Hey? Yeah. No, our key performance areas, we determined them to be 8. And this is in response to the object, this is in response to the mandate given to the NYDA. And these key performance areas are economic participation, which is mainly aimed at the creation of enterprises that will stimulate economic growth and development. They are mainly aimed at creating job opportunities, self-employment, and income-generating activities. On education and skills development, which is mainly aimed at ensuring that young people are sufficiently educated, that the literacy levels in the country are also raised, that young people who are out of schools, perhaps because they can't finish matric or whatsoever, they are at least given the necessary skills to can find a job and be able to fend for themselves. On effective and efficient management of resources, this is a support KPA of the National Youth Development Agency, which mainly speaks to the governance issues of the affairs of the National Youth Development Agency. We have information and communication, which is also outward looking. In the main, this is aimed at provision of information to the youth of South Africa, presenting before them the myriad of opportunities that they might be faced with, education, skills and development training, as well as job opportunities. So we have made it our business as a National Youth Development Agency to gather information and to disseminate it to young people to make it available for them so that they can be aware of the opportunities that are out there. On policy lobbying advocacy, this is our responsibility, which is aimed at mainly influencing the policies of government, influencing the programs of government departments, provinces, municipalities, so that they are more geared towards youth development, they are more biased towards the youth of the country. But our responsibility under this KPA is not only limited to South Africa as a country, we are also extending it to the African Union, we're extending it to the region, the southern region, we're extending it to the United Nations, in other words, we're extending it to the world. So it is our interest to actually influence the policies of the governments in and around South Africa so that young people in those areas are also as comfortable as we envisage young South Africans to be comfortable. We do so for a simple reason. If a Namibian is comfortable at home, that Namibian will see no need to cross the border and take up an employment opportunity in South Africa. If a Zimbabwean is comfortable at home, they will see no need to come at home in South Africa and take up an employment opportunity and leave young South Africans in the lurch. So that is mainly the reason why we also play a very strong role on international relations in influencing the policies in those countries. On research, monitoring, and evaluation, this is mainly aimed at improving or contributing towards the body of knowledge around youth development, but it also speaks to the R&D issues to make sure that we also contribute meaningfully and effectively towards the policies, the policy formulation of government. We know exactly what inputs we are giving there, not just thumbsucking without necessarily having done thorough research. But we must also evaluate the programs that we are putting in place. For example, the National Youth Service, to what extent is it making an impact and differences in the life of the youth of South Africa, and many other programs. We are also, by the way, empowered by the legislation to conduct studies on any other matter that we deem necessary, as long as it seeks to support the aim on youth development. So we might be conducting a study that says, are all government departments doing enough actually towards youth development, and table that as a legislative report, a legal requirement in terms of the NYDA Act. And we also have a KPA on social cohesion, which is mainly aimed at nation building, to try and give, to build social capital amongst these young people, to make sure that we strengthen relationships amongst young South Africans, to bind communities together. And to that effect, we have got quite a number of programs that we are initiating on the ground to make sure that the problems that we're experiencing are actually minimized. You'll realize that in many meetings or public meetings, gatherings that any government department would call at any point given in time, you will realize that very few people from, example, white communities, Indian communities will attend those meetings, and particularly young people, they are not very serious about the issues of government and issues of common interest in the society. And therefore, our role as the National Youth Development Agency is to conscientize them how important it is for them to attend IDP meetings in a municipality, in a metropolitan, in a metro, in Togwini, in Cape Town, and so on and so forth, so that they are able to influence the direction of development in their respective areas. And the last KPA that we have is on National Youth Service, which is mainly focused around promoting volunteerism, community service, and it is aimed at exposing these young people to a workplace, to exposing them to opportunities in workplaces, and thus giving them the necessary experience for them to start looking for a job. In most cases, when a start program like this, people will ask us a question: you are giving an opportunity to this young person only for a period of 12 months. After that, where do they go? The purpose of that program is mainly to expose them, to give them the experience and to give them the skills, or to rather sharpen the skills during that period, so that they become better competitors as when they are going to look for a job. If they stay longer, it's even a bonus for us. But the main intention of the program is to make sure that they are properly equipped. They are answering to the need of being employable wherever they can go. So in summary, with regards to the mandate of the NYD, it's important for me to illustrate that slide that you have before you, slide number 8, and say to you, we have been given a very big mandate. Youth development is a cross-cutting issue. Youth development deals with everything else. And the National Youth Development Agency, accordingly, is expected to be everything to everybody, every young person in every corner of South Africa. This mandate is too big to an extent that we said for us to start off with a project at the beginning of the existence of the NYDA, it might be proper that this project be capitalized to a tune of about 1 billion. And the response that we have received, before I speak to the response, there was a due diligence that was also conducted by departments, including the Department of the National Treasury, that recommended that the capitalization of that measure should be placed at about 600 million. But however, the actual allocation that came to the National Youth Development Agency simply took the amount of the former Msebenzi Youth Fund and the amount of the former NYC combined them and gave us an allocation of about 370 million for the first year to deal with merger and to deal with the normal operations of the National Youth Development Agency. During that same year, we were expected to put on board the provincial youth commissions to dissolve them and take up their responsibilities, and those budgets remained with the provinces. For example, if the Premier of Western Cape had a budget of about 5 million for youth development, at the time we took over the responsibilities of youth development, that budget did not come with those responsibilities. It remained in those provinces. So this was a limitation for us, and that is why we were all about the resources that were given to the National Youth Development Agency will not necessarily make us have the impact that we want to have. However, in the past two financial years that we have existed, we have been able to tailor-make the targets approved by the executive authority to say within this financial year we will be able to deliver these targets, and we have been able to meet those targets, and we were able to surpass those targets by very thin margins. We surpassed them by very big margins, but in some of the targets where we did not do well, and they are not very important targets. For example, on the evaluation of projects that we have already implemented, the reports thereof, because of capacity, you are supposed to do 6, but you only did 5. So even the missing of that mark was with very thin margin. In the last financial year, in particular 2010-2011, with regards to performance information, I think this is very important that we emphasize on it. With regards to performance information, Auditor General has found no material findings. In other words, he has been satisfied that the performance that we have put before is actually the performance that we have achieved in that particular financial year. In the same financial year, we have had an unqualified audit opinion with regards to the financials of the organization, with only 5 matters of emphasis which were satisfactorily explained to the Auditor General, and we want to offer them. So it's very important that we understand this with regards to the mandate, but also, Chairperson, to take advantage and lobby the members of Parliament on this matter. We must indicate that recently, in the past 2-3 days, we have had a visit from the Namibian Youth Service and the Namibian Youth Council. These are the legislative organizations responsible for youth development in Namibia. You will remember that Namibia has got a total population of 2.4 million people. And I must tell you that they shocked us, and they said to us, we are receiving 400 million per year for youth development alone from government in our country, in Namibia, for a total population of 2.4 million. They are faced with the same challenges. In terms of the demographics, you will understand that we share the same common history with the Namibians, and therefore the challenges are more or less the same, except for a few things. They don't have gangsterism and all those things that we are sitting with here in South Africa. But if you do an apple-for-apple comparison and you look at what the government of South Africa is investing in youth development, 370, let's say 400 million for 50 million people, ideally, that budget should have been multiplied by about 20, if I'm not mistaken. It should have been 20-fold to what we're getting, so that it can be compared able for able with what the youth of Namibia is basically being exposed to. But they are still complaining as well. They are saying that budget is a bit too little for them to do what they're supposed to do. The Namibians have got money to invest on infrastructure and rural development. They are building schools, they are building institutions where they are training these young people on NYS program, and that is something that we are still grappling with in South Africa. We are depending on the cooperation and the mercy of many government departments. I also read, as I was coming onto the plane in Johannesburg, Standard Bank saying that they have given 50 billion loans to South Africans. And South Africans are 50 million. And the economically active South Africans are 20 million in that regard, plus minus. And if you can imagine what the 50 billion rents, if it was shared equally, could have done to the population of South Africa, it means on average every South African could have received about 2.5 million as a loan from Standard Bank to start up a life, either in education or to start up an enterprise or so on. But this money goes somewhere else. It goes to the very few of this country. So we think that a much more serious attention should be given to the investment on youth development in this country. Our target groups in the main chair, it's young people, young South Africans. These young South Africans must be between the age of 14 and 35 purposes. For the purposes of legal definition, they should be 18 to 35. They must be South Africans irrespective of race, gender, color, creed, or any political affiliation for that matter. When you arrive at any branch of the National Youth Development Agency, there is no membership card of a political organization that is required of you. You are not required your baptismal certificate from any church. You just come as a young South African with your ID and you seek assistance, and on those basis you receive the assistance that you're supposed to get. We are basically, as the National Youth Development Agency, biased towards young persons with disabilities, towards young women, towards the rural poor youth. Especially we are biased towards the young people in the rural areas, semi-rural and the peri-urban areas. These are former black townships and poor communities. Just to zoom into the program on rural youth development, I must indicate that this is under the KPA Economic Development, Economic Participation in the National Youth Development Agency. To start off with issues of policy framework for rural youth development, we must indicate to you that the policy is adopted by Cabinet on the National Youth Policy emphasizes rural youth development. Furthermore, this policy directs the government to invest in skilling and in rural youth and creating mechanisms of attracting and retaining them in the rural areas. So in other words, what the policy says is that the government must make efforts to actually create opportunities for these young people in the rural areas to attract, for example, a medical doctor to go and work in Zingizingi in Limpopo, and to make sure that that doctor is retained in Zingizingi. For example, you can do that through incentives. Schemes that you may have. If you're offering a doctor in town 100,000, you might want to offer a doctor in the rural area 150 and some benefits for them to be attracted towards that area and stay a little bit longer. There are many other things that we'll need to do in many career fields to attract young people to work in those areas. For example, agricultural economists, we've got quite a couple of young people that are graduating more and more in those areas, but they don't reside in the rural areas. They still reside in Pretoria. They want to work for the Department of Agriculture as office workers. They don't want to work in the ground and make sure that this country becomes more productive. It also calls upon the government to invest in infrastructure development in rural areas to make the above possible. It says, therefore, the policy for this intervention to be possible in the rural areas, government must consciously invest in the development of infrastructure. I think this is also in keeping with the national spatial development perspectives by the government of South Africa, that there must be more investment in those areas. The National Youth Policy also calls upon government departments to establish youth directorates and to come up with youth development strategies, departmental youth development strategies in consultation with the National Youth Development Agency. We must be able to say to this committee that the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is a step ahead with regards to these issues. They have established a youth directorate in that regard, and they are working on a developmental strategy which they must still bring it forth to the National Youth Development for consultation, and so that we streamline what we have in the IYDS to what they are proposing in that area. And there's still room for improving collaboration, but there is work being done. On strategies for rural youth development, the Department of Rural, like I said, they're in the process of developing the strategy, and we are working with them in quite a number of areas, but we're saying there's a room for improvement. And the strategy is yet to be discussed with us as and when it is being developed. With regards to comprehensive rural development program, we are hoping that the strategy that the department is developing will form the strong basis for rural youth development in those areas. But also the integrated youth development strategy that is developed by the NYDA and subjected to the cabinet for approval right now speak very intensively around issues of rural development. It addresses issues of agro-processing, agriculture, cooperatives, green economy, etc., etc. On our approach towards rural youth development, we must be able to indicate that we have got mainly two legs in the National Youth Development Agency. The first leg is Community Development Facilitation, which has got its own staff complement, and we have got Cooperative Development, which has got its own staff complement. And I think both the concepts are self-explanatory. The development facilitators mainly walk around the rural communities and they identify opportunities and they link them up with the relevant institutions to make sure that development does happen, and they initiate programs, they open up opportunities for them for funding, for capacity building interventions, and so on and so forth. So they receive both financial and non-financial support from the National Youth Development Agency. But we are also assisting young people to start up cooperatives in the rural areas, funding them and helping them with regards to the development of the business plans, and again helping them to go to the agencies that have got funding to assist them with the necessary funding. And some of them were funded on our own. There's quite a lot of agricultural businesses that were funded, a lot of waste management initiatives that were funded from the National Youth Development Agency itself. And recently we have hosted an International Cooperative Day in the Eastern Cape in partnership with DTI and the Eastern Cape Provincial Government and others. Our focus mainly with regards to our approach to rural youth development is around agriculture, is around integrated agri-businesses development, around waste management, around water and waste management, renewable energy and energy efficiency. You will note that most of these programs we are engaging with, they also form the basis and very strong basis for our green economy strategy. In the main, in these areas, we focus on providing the necessary skills, providing the necessary non-financial support and financial support accordingly. We have introduced a very new and a very interesting program in the National Youth Development Agency. It is called Ithuba Lentsha Micro Enterprise Program, meaning the opportunity or the chance for the youth. In the main, this is a re-engineered micro-enterprise program, Ithuba Lentsha. It is re-engineered in the sense that we have studied the microfinance program that we had in the fund in the past, and we have looked at the gaps as to say, why are the enterprises established and supported not existing beyond the period of 12 months? So after 12 months, if you have established 100 enterprises, after 12 months, you only find 10 that have lived beyond that particular period. What happened to the 90? So after studying exactly what the problems in that area are, we then came up with this re-engineered and modified program, which is in the main focusing of on the loans of up to about 100,000. It seeks to address trades and businesses, areas such as plumbing services, hair salons, music production, photography, mobile merchants, and so on. There's quite a number of programs that we're addressing in this area. But we are not looking for big enterprise gurus here. We are looking for young people that can do a trade in order for them to put bread on the table, but also with the possibility for them to grow and be sustainable in that business. So, for example, if we've assisted you with 50,000, 100,000 this year to start up a plumbing freelance, in a year or two, we would like to see what the savings are, and we would like to see if it has been reinvested in the business or invested into new diversified areas of the business. This program is premised mainly on the five pillars. The first pillar is enterprise education. When we identify this young person and we give this opportunity to this young person, let's say that young person wants to become a hairdresser. Before we even give you a loan, we take you through to some short program that will polish your skills around hairdressing. We will take you through the skills of making it a point that you can run a small business. So it deals with training, the first two legs, enterprise training and technical or trade-related training. But we then go to the third leg, which is compulsory mentorship, where we identify a person that will work hand-in-hand with you, but that will also be a co-signatory in your check account. in the bank, because we've got a problem of young people who are getting excited very easily. You give him 100,000, tomorrow he's now eating at ZA. He's no longer living the normal life that he was living. He changes the lifestyle altogether. He is able to go in and out of the bank to withdraw some money, to show off to friends that he's got access to cash. Before you know it, the business collapses because they can't buy stock. So we have introduced this leg of compulsory mentorship, and the question is, up to what stage is this compulsory mentorship going to exist? It exists in as long as this young person owes the National Youth Development Agency. And after that, we assume that you would have been exposed to financial discipline. You would have seen in yourself that, in fact, this business can be a success. All I need is to be disciplined, is to know and treat the business for what it is. Simple things such as a business owner must also be salaried in that business. He must not have unlimited access to the fund. He must know that in each and every month, this is the salary I can draw from the business. Beyond that, I must know I don't have anything else. I'm just like a laborer who works for the municipality, who, when he has chowed all his money, a parade, and there is nothing else that you can do about it. If they have that level of discipline, then we can see more results in the businesses, but also inculcate a strong culture of savings so that in the future they are able to grow these businesses even further. Financing, like I said earlier on, we then give them or expose them to loans of up to 100,000, some 150,000, depending on the kind of a business that we're engaging with these young people. And the last leg deals with market linkages. There are those businesses that cannot survive on these young people alone. We will need the indulgence of municipalities, the indulgence of government departments, of the private sector. For example, if this young person is a plumber, there are many RDP houses. And these RDP houses, most of the people that are living there are classified as indigents by the municipalities. That means the municipalities carry the bill for water, carry the bill for electricity, carry the bill for every municipal cost. And the municipality will always run into a loss or will be forced to have a big write-off budget if issues of water management are not taken into consideration. If there are consistent water leakages in those houses and they are not being attended to, that means the municipality is running in a loss and will have a crisis in the country in that regard. So we will be saying to municipalities, here is a group of young people who have got entities, they've been properly trained in that area. Their plumbers grant them an opportunity to deal with these water leakages at a particular contract, and then we can be able to have them sustainable. But they will also look for their own private businesses somewhere. They will go to a middle-income housing area, and they offer their services and have their own clientele on their own. But just to make sure that there is sustainability in the project, we must also assist them as government departments, as private sector, and so on and so forth. So if a young person, for example, is in a business of supplying the cleaning chemicals as well as toilet papers, departments must be at liberty to actually order, or schools themselves, they must be able to order from these young persons these supplies so that they assist them to be sustainable. This program will by and large cater for the youth in the rural areas. We'll be launching this program somewhere around January. We are still finalizing the nitty-gritties around this program, and people will be asking, where did the budget for this come from? We are using the same micro financing budget that we had. It's just that we are redirecting it to these specific programs. And why are we doing that? It's because we have also studied in terms of our financial usages that in the past few years, even before the NYDA came into existence, a lot of loans that have been given by the Umsobom Youth Fund have been given to urban individuals. Stephen Gumeni will come and say, I want to open a cappuccino, I want to open a coffee, and they will give him 2-3 million. And Stephen will say, I'm going to create 10 jobs with that 2-3 million. And by the time we come a year later or 2 years later to that business, the first thing that we are met with is Zimbabweans who are not necessarily youth. You won't find a single young South African, and that does not help in our own view in reducing poverty. And Stephen will be coming back to say, I need refinancing because my business in Cape Town is so successful. I saw another opportunity of opening a business in Port Elizabeth. Can you give me another 3 million? And in our statistics, we'll be showing that we have assisted 2 young people last year and 2 young people this year. When a thorough interrogation is done, it is the same 2 young persons that were empowered last year, that we are empowering this year. And in actual fact, it's a husband and a wife. They are just being refinanced. So what targeting the youth of South Africa and creating self-employment directly amongst these young people, but also work on fine-tuning the program such that it improves in terms of its sustainability and success. The green economy, I have tried to allude to it earlier on as I was speaking, that we have developed as the National Youth Development Agency, again a result of the consultation that we have had in the 9 provinces and the national convention. They will come up with a green economy strategy for the youth for South Africa, and that strategy mainly is aimed at skilling, creating employment and creating economic opportunities for the youth of South Africa. The strategy encourages responsible environmental management and the usage of natural resources. It covers the areas such as agriculture, agro-processing, water and waste management, renewable energy and energy efficiency. We have seen that young people, for example, they are not easily enticed into participating in agriculture. But certainly if you can go to an area where there is a lot of milk farming, where a lot of milk is produced, and you say to these young people, we can form you into a cooperative and we can establish a dairy where you can produce yogurt, where you can produce cheese and so on, it is much more appealing to a young person than that of being an elementary farm worker. So we have thought of that value chain, and we have thought of possibilities for these young people, and also changing the mindsets of the young people towards food production and sustainability for the country. In this program of the green economy, we have estimated the creation of a total number of jobs of about 322,000, and this is over the period of 5 years. And the capital injection that will be required is about 5.8 billion. We are estimating that we'll be able to create opportunities for small, medium enterprises of up to 2,700. And of course, this budget is not necessarily expected to come from the National Youth Development Agency. We have developed a program. This is youth development in action. We have developed the program, and we will be lobbying for funds for people to come on board and say, yes, this program we can run with. For example, the Department of Environmental Affairs, can they actually run with the program that has been identified by the young people of South Africa themselves. As I conclude, Chair, let me highlight a couple of challenges that the NYDA has been faced with in the past 2 and a couple of months of existence. The first one is what I've spoken to, is the poor capitalization of mergers. You know, mergers and acquisitions, for those who are exposed to management literature, they will know that mergers and acquisitions are not a very easy process. They are very costly in their own nature. But it is strange at what level this merger of the Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the NYDA, and I will deliberately say, and the Provincial Youth Commission, was actually capitalized. And it doesn't make any sense for that financing that was given. You will know that in the Act, Honorable Johnson, there was also a clause, transitional clause, that provides for Section 197 of the Labor Relations Act, and which means, in essence, inherit all the staff members of Umsobomvu, inherit all the staff members of NYC, and these staff members, as you inherit them, it's on the same terms and conditions of employment, or better. They can't be worse off. And that is why, up until this day, the National Youth Development Agency, in its existence, has only been able to employ about 34 people. And the rest of the people, we talk about the complement of about 440 people, the rest of the people are an inheritance. And the 34 people are the only people that have been employed in the past few years. Hence, we don't understand normally when we hear this noise that is hitting the streets of South Africa about the employment processes of the NYDA, when we have only employed 34 people since our existence. Again, the annual budget allocation continues to be meagre. The government has given us about 1.2 billion over 3 years. It doesn't change anything. It's 400 million per year. And I just illustrated, for example, an example of a very small country next door here, Namibia, to say this is what they are investing into youth development. 2.4 million people investing in their youth, 400 million. 50 million people, South Africans, investing 400 million into their youth. it doesn't make sense at all. When Namibians are even saying this, that we are investing on youth development as Namibians, is still very little. We are not reaching out there to these young people as we are supposed to. South Africa, it decides to divide that amount by 20 and say, no, we can only be able to cut it down by to divide it by 20 and provide for that. That is if we compare APUS with APUS. There's still elements of poor coordination and cooperation with government departments. There are government departments that are coming on board and they are taking the issues of youth development very seriously. I was very impressed when the team that was speaking and responding to the portfolio committee's questions here spoke to one of the issues. The National Youth Convention raised an issue, and one of the issues that they raised was that as far as economic empowerment is concerned, these youth entities must be established, these youth entities must be empowered in terms of the skills and capacity. But equally, government departments must lead by examples. They must be the first ones to give opportunities to these youth-owned entities. And they have called upon the setting aside of about 40% of the capital budget in their procurement systems, that they must deliberately say as a department, 40% of what we are going to procure, we will only procure from young people. So if you were going to build a road for 100 million, you must know that therefore 40 million is required, that it must be procured from the youth-owned companies. And people argued, no, but that stifles competition and so on and so forth. And we advised them to say supply chain management, procurement management finds its origin from the Constitution. And if you read the Constitution, it allows for a national course that is necessary for us to deviate from the normal processes. So if you realize that going this competition route does not necessarily help the course of the country, the course of the nation, you may then go the route of quarantining and setting aside for the course that you think it is necessary. It goes for setting aside for women-owned companies. It goes for setting aside for disabled people-owned companies. So it can be a problematic issue when it is proposed for setting aside for the youth of South Africa. So we're quite happy when colleagues were raising it, but some of the departments will blatantly refuse. For example, we went to one department, which I will not mention, and you say to them, there is a cabinet policy, this is the decision they have taken, we are expecting you to have a youth directorate in terms of the policy. This is not something we are proposing now. It's something that was decided upon by the cabinet of President Mbeki, and they will tell you, no, but some of these decisions are still subject for review. So we don't understand that each and every time leadership is elected into government, and therefore that means the country must come to a standstill, we must recreate the wheel, and stop implementing the decisions that were taken until they are subject for a review. And I don't think that is the way that we are supposed to be behaving as government administrators. We should be implementing the decisions that are taken by cabinet. But we are met with those kinds of attitude. They will do the restructuring of their departments. They will tell you they don't afford to have a youth directorate. And they don't even give you the hope that even in the next year, they might employ one or two persons in that space. And when you speak about the setting aside of budgets, and I know that is Zulu for effect, so it won't help necessarily. So we're still having those challenges. But the media of South Africa does not assist in the process. Ours is to lobby for all and sundry to come on board with regards to youth development, and that means also the private sector. But already the private sector has got something to cling on because of the reports that they always receive from the media that puts or dips the confidence on the National Youth Development Agency. But we wonder all the time, is this the effect on the agency, or is it an effect on youth development in general? And our assumption is that this is an effect on youth development in general, because people are not even saying, no, we don't trust the NYDA anymore, we are not going to give money to them, but we are initiating programs on our own on youth development, and this is how much we are investing in there. They are not even saying that. They just say no more interest in youth development issues, and it's all because of the negative publicity that we are receiving, and to a very large extent, unjustifiably so. Government investment in rural development is also seen to be a bit problematic. I think we're treating this matter, investing generally, not on youth development in rural areas, but on rural development generally. I think the investment, we are treating it quite casually. We are not focusing in these areas. For example, in an area where I come from, I know that the municipality owns about 3 farms that are lying idle, are not doing anything, and where they bought them from, these farms, were actually very productive. But today, they're just farms with farmhouses where council functions can be held as and when the mayor is excited about this and about that. But you don't necessarily get the necessary output out of the farm itself. So we believe as the National Youth Development Agency that we are not doing enough in investing in the infrastructure in the rural areas. We have also advocated, for example, in the IYDS, for the decentralization of the economic activities in South Africa. We have said that this thing of people migrating from Zomo going to Port Elizabeth, going to East London for opportunities, of people migrating from Kwamhlabuyalinga and KZN to Thekwini in order for them to find economic opportunities, we must try and reduce that. It doesn't help at all. It keeps rural areas very poor, and it destroys our communities in the rural areas. And therefore, we believe that more investment must go into these areas. And what exactly, that is what we are spelling out in the Green Economy Strategy. For example, issues of agro-processing, issues of recycling projects, and so on and so forth. There is a very poor understanding of the National Youth Development Agency mandate, and we have alluded to that. We have tried to explain to the committee exactly what this mandate is about. Many people that will have a comment or a swipe at the National Youth Development Agency, you will realize that they don't have an understanding of what the agency is about. A typical example, Chair, is the Freedom Front Youth yesterday. They have written to the Auditor General, and they are saying to the Auditor General, because there is fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 2 million, because there is irregular expenditure of 26 million on the festival, we therefore think that you must hold the accounting officer of the NYDA accountable. You must bring him to book. People must be individually charged. And if you understand and remember, Honorable Lulu Johnson, in terms of the NYDA Act, there is no accounting officer. The NYDA Act allows for the accounting authority. So it speaks to the ignorance of the people that continuously and persistently make comments on youth development issues without necessarily being clued up on these issues. And that is why we felt that this is one of the challenges that we are faced with as the NYDA, to go out there and educate people about what is NYDA, what is the mandate of the NYDA, but moreover, what is youth development, what is everybody supposed to do around youth development. I think that brings us to the last slide or conclusion. We believe that rural development is one of the key strategic focus of the National Youth Development Agency, and that it should remain a strategic focus area for the country. Majority of the people of South Africa, or majority of the young people in South Africa, are found in the rural areas. Statistics show that more than 60% of the youth that we're dealing with are mainly from the rural areas. Our strategy will only be successful if we develop and maintain strong partnership with the line departments, such as the department that I've spoken to, and the NGOs. We are approaching a lot of partners in this regard, and we therefore welcome the invitation by yourselves to come and present this, and we hope that this is going to present more opportunities for us to interact with the departments and the agencies around this. I was told to be a praise singer to the Honorable P.S. Cizani for giving us this opportunity, Chair. We thank you very much.
You will notice that the members will ask many questions. The unfortunate thing is that it's 10 to 1 now. We normally have an opportunity for the presentation and then questions and answers, some kind of interaction. So it may not be possible to have the interaction in 10 minutes. So what I'll do, I'll take the members' questions. We may have to divide the questions. Those that could be reduced into writing, your parliamentary liaison officer can deliver them. and those that can be dealt with now. The purpose, our own purpose of interacting with you is twofold. One, the delegation of NYDA to Mangaung People's Assembly specifically complained. Did you? They specifically complained that young people cannot access farms and access land. They are getting it difficult to interact with provincial institutions of your department so that they can have access to this land and farms. Those that do get no support from the state. We were responding to that by saying we thought that we would organize a meeting so that they then come and brief the committee, but also facilitate a linking between yourselves and them, so that the working relationship can be built from now on, going forward. We thought then we will give the opportunity to members to ask questions on the presentation that has been given to us, which is very informative. I noticed two hands, four hands. Where's the fifth one? Who? Four hands. I want to let's agree. Asizovumela umuntu athunukwe umbuzo omnye umuntu. Afuna ukubuza ngeyakhe indlela ethunuka ne. If it is pricked, somebody's conscience is pricked by somebody else's question, and then draws you into asking another question. No follow up questions. We're going for lunch now. The house, unfortunately, is sitting. The house is sitting at 2 o'clock. Can I get you in the form that you're sitting? Dubinkosi Mandela, the Mstaba, the Stain, and then the Whip. Thank you. In that order.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank the NYDA for its presentation. But I feel, Chair, it lacks detail in the sense that if you come to the slide number 2, they talk about activities and projects that the NYDA is implementing in rural areas. Where are these projects being implemented? Can they be more specific and give us details as to where are these projects being implemented, so that as a portfolio committee we can able to follow up on these projects and be able to do one of our core functions being oversight. They are also biased to rural areas. I'm interested in having been biased to rural areas and focusing on rural areas. Who are their partners or stakeholders they are participating with in those areas? On my other cap as a traditional leader located in Mvezo, I've never seen NYDA in Mvezo. I can guarantee you the youth in Mvezo have no clue whatsoever what NYDA is. So what is the relationship they've put in place with, example, the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders or the National House of Traditional Leaders, who are the custodians of those areas, to ensure that information pertaining to the youth is really reaching the people that is intended for. On page 15, Chair, they talk about jobs created, 322,825. Where are these jobs created per province, and how many, in which sectors have these jobs been created, and
Sir,
what area?
Read the full sentence.
Yes. In which sectors will these jobs be created, and more so if you are looking at the gender sensitivity, how many females will be empowered through this, since that in rural areas we do have an extreme challenge of girl child being marginalized. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. The inkosi yami ingithathele konke bengifuna ukubuza, kodwa ke kusekhona okunye. Comrade Chair, let me put this question in this way, because we have, yes, kunomakhelwane wami la kuseduzane kwami engafuna ukuthayizwa le nto engifuna ukuyibuza kula bantwana. Bantwana bam, nikhala ngokuthi Chairperson, through you, Chair, bathi la rural development in page 17, in conclusion, rural development is one of the key strategic focus areas of NYDA. Our strategy will only be successful if we develop and maintain strong partnership with the line department and key stakeholders. Okay. Umbuzo wami ke u-Secretary Chair, labantwana bathi kunabantu asebekhomplena ukuthi angeke bekwazi ukubanika imali abana interest ku-NYDA. Yes, even nami bantaba manginayo i-interest ku-NYDA, ngoba i-NYDA, I think it's iminyakeni embili edlula, ngifuneze iminyaka embili edlula liye kwathathwa imali, kwathiwa kwenziwa iphathi zataka iy'ngane zethu zamanzi zathi ten azange azazi amagama wazo esiye zahamba nqini khona lapho lalaniyokwenza khona iphathi yale mali ye-NYDA. Nikhuluma ngeZambia, nithi iZambia ithi nemali what. Yes, eZambia, eNamibia, iNamibia ikhonani youth yakhona efana nale yayela South Africa eNamibia, because iyouth yala imo angazi ngayibiza ukuthi njani, yabona ayifani nawo amanye amakhansi. Is only one youth yala engenamthetho engazi ukuthi imali iphathwa kanjani. Okwesi-two, kunale nto kuthiwa yini, izikhothane. Nikanazibona TV, nibonile, nitheni manibona le nto kuyouth. Before nifuna izimali bantabam, buildani i-youth e-strong, i-youth e-right, i-quality youth, not le youth enithi nizofuna imali ku-government nifunele kuniyodakisa iy'ngane zethu ngemali ziphele zibe yiboto. Buildani abantwana bethu youth babe strong, i-youth e-strong ezoba ikusasa elihle kwabanye abantu. Niyasihlekisa ngalo muntu oseduze kwami, niyasihlekisa ezinteni zenzayo ziphume kuma-TV bantwana. Njengoba nila nikhuluma ngokuthi i-strategic sense sifocuse ku-youth, rural youth, yithi i-rural area eyi-one eningangitshela yona eniyaziyo, eyi-one eningasho cha e-rural ethile, ngoba mina ngisiye KZN. The most rural in South Africa is a KZN with the Eastern Cape. But nikuphi, ngoba mina ngihlala based in Gauteng but ekhaya lise-KZN, ngiyadlala e-KZN, but angikade sokuthiwa i-NYDA beyila yafike yalonja le project for youth, yafike yenza le program for youth. Angakuzwa lokho, engikuzwile nje ukuthi nithathe yonke imali e-NYDA nayodakwa ngayo nadakiswa ngayo abantwana babantu, sephila abantu babekho ngoba baphuzi. But nani ningabantwana bami, ngikluda nani ukuthi le zinto enizenzayo ngale mali e-NYDA ake nihambe nohlala phansi ni-strategize kahle, nibuye nizositshela ukuthi yini nifuna ukuyenza without ukuthi nifuna ukuyodakiswa abantwana babantu ngotshwala. Because sengizofuna le mali because uthole ikhisimusi, nifuna ukwenza amaphathi, nifuna ukwenza amaphathi azokuzika ngabantu zidakwe zihambe nqini. Please mani bantu abami, akanibuildeni youth, siyanithanda, sifuna ukubona kusasa amasifa thina, nibe khona nina, nibe nalo mqondo wokuthi imali yenzani. Hayi ibe mhambe ishiswa ikhothane bebishisa imali phambi kwezwe lonke libu. INamibia wayingamtshelanga ukuthi cha nina nemali eningikudlula bona ngoba nina nayishisa imali ezo South Africa. Nina mjaba kuphela. Ngiyabonga she.
Don't worry about that. say he comes from the farm in the UK, next to Carindale, in a place called Fenderstar. Fenderstar. So she can hear, no problem. Come, he say.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to start by saying while the presentation was going on, I was looking at your website. I find it very interactive. But there's also a lot of links that you can't open, so I don't know what is the reason for that, and I just want you to have a look at that. And I think it's very important links that's supposed to give people very important information. So please just have a look at that. I'm also, unfortunately, links. There was one A to Z of bursaries or something that I can think of quickly. I think, Chairperson, I'm also one of the people that only know about the National Youth Development Agency through the media, and it's not positive. Chair, but I also want to caution the youth. I know sometimes it's difficult, but I listened carefully to your presentation, and there was one or two things that I thought to myself, that's maybe why you are in the media on a negative, and I won't give you examples, but I want you to think about it. If you want to do something and you have other people's cooperation that you need, you must sometimes, you know, in politics we learn it's not what you say, it's how people hear you. It's what people hear. And it's just a word of caution. Chair, as you said, rural youth development or development of rural people is very near to my heart. And I'm really worried. I looked at what what you are supposed to do. I know you're speaking about the money and all of that, but I want to see what is your strategy. Because if you don't strategize, I always say to youth in my area, you can't come to me and say this is what you want to do. I want to know from today to that day, how are you going to achieve that? And I'm worried that the chairperson had to facilitate this day because you have a problem with rural youth getting land and what is happening with the link with rural development and the Narisek youth. If you didn't get that link by yourself, there's a problem somewhere. So I want you to put more time and effort on your strategy. How are you going to achieve this? You can't come to government and say, give us more funding. But we don't really know what is it that you are going to achieve and how are you going to achieve that. I don't have a specific question today, Chair. I will think about this and I think I'll write to them about my experience. I visited America for a whole month in February this year, looking at their youth development in America. Their target is to make sure that every person that turns 24, because their youth is to 24, has got employment. And they have a very comprehensive system. But government plays a very big role in that. Into that. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm saying. What is your strategy? What do you want to achieve with all these targets? It's a massive, massive job, as you said. And if you look at the job that you must do and money, I agree with you. It's not enough. But you haven't told us. What is your strategy? Why must we give you money? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. I would like to welcome the presentation and appreciate the fact that we are able to interact with you. Because Chairperson, like my colleagues, visibility of the NYDA is non-existent. I'm coming from Limpopo. My constituency is rural. I'm sure you know of Senwabarana. That's where I'm coming from. It's very dry. And, opportunities are limited. I was telling the chairperson one day that I'm talking about a block that is called a town, just a small block. It's not even a street. And you can imagine the youth are very frustrated because there's nothing that they are doing, and NYDA is not visible. I'm not sure where the problem is. And I would also like to say your strategy will be very important for us to understand exactly what is it that you are doing. We'll need to understand where you are coming from the time that the measure took place, what is happening now. Okay, the issue of the problems and the challenges that the youth are facing. Maybe like all the other people, I'm not that much in line with what is it that you are supposed to do, because there's no visibility. We are not able to interact with you, most especially when we go to our constituencies. Youth are facing serious challenges. Lack of education, most especially where I'm based. There's a whole lot of other challenges like HIV, you know. There's nothing that is happening. There are drugs that the youth are focusing on because they are frustrated. There's nothing that they are doing. They are bored. So they have to experiment with whatever comes their way. And I think it will be very important if, in your strategy, you'll start by being visible on the ground. You'll start by ensuring that ordinary youth are able to access you. Because we have constituency offices. That can be a start. We don't talk about this fund, the money that you want being made available to the youth. You can start with constituency offices. Make it a point that you are visible there. Then members will be able to assist in whatever possible way they can. And biasness towards rural youth. I mean, formation of cooperatives in the rural areas, that can go a very long way in ensuring that, I mean, you are talking about people that even when they are adverts, most of them are not able to access media. They are not able to have a newspaper. Where I am, they get Sowetan. Only after one person has gone to town, to Polokwane, that's when they'll get a Sowetan. By the time they get it, the date is gone. Why are we not visible? Let us be very visible so that we assist the youth of this country. And that's your mandate. And we can assist you in doing that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Whip. Are we all okay? Thank you. And perhaps it would have also made a lot more difference if there were also other departments like agriculture here. I take it, DG, you have taken care of some of the issues raised. Now, the main issue raised by NYDA, among others, also goes to be the mainstreaming of youth programs and through an establishment of what is referred to as youth directorate. Now, that shall speak directly to the department. And then I was just saying here, seated down, saying to myself, I'm sure this is also an opportunity that shall be accorded or will have to be accorded to all other committees of Parliament. As you do that, you also make sure that those committees, they also bring along the department officials. I think that helps so that we are able to synchronize both at Parliament and also at legislative level, so that we are also able to get a sense from the departments themselves as to whether do they have those youth directorates themselves. Granted, you are in your own right, in your own space involved in all those processes. And then I thought you were also going to make mention of, you know, climate change programs. I saw there you have renewable energies and waste management and those. I thought you would be more pointed. Now, those are the few questions I guess we might wish to respond to.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair.
Maybe just before you take the platform, you don't want to say anything, Gigi, quickly? Just by way of comments.
Chair, thanks for the opportunity. I think there's a lot more that we can do together, given the focus of the Department of Rural Development in the programs, particularly NARISEC. We will certainly have a bilateral to see how we can take forward some of the initiatives that were proposed. I heard from the CEO saying that there's still room for improvement. So I will be taking him up on that and see how we can take this thing a step further. Of course, working together with the Department of Rural Development as a coordinating department of Outcome 7, we could probably bring in other departments such as agriculture, such as DTI, outside of Parliament, so that by the time they come to the portfolio committees, there has been engagement outside. I'm saying we can offer to do that kind of facilitation as we do in the implementation of Outcome 7, to bring others together.
You can go.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start by indicating that we have already started engaging departments one by one, one-on-one sessions, to find a common ground. We deal with two things in the main when we meet departments one by one. We deal with the establishment of the youth directorates, but we also deal with the departmental youth development program. So we find common grounds. We have started engaging the government departments, and of course we will meet with DG and his team. The reason why we were not in a hurry to meet them in particular is because already there are things they have put in place, but there are departments that are seriously behind. And those are the departments where we started, but of course we are getting to meet with them and finalize certain things. But we will also appreciate that opportunity in the other portfolio committees where we can actually make a similar presentation, and this time it will be much more focused. Before I deal with the question of the climate change that you raised, I just want to indicate that, you know, we normally account to the portfolio committee for women and the children and the disabled. And that is where normally we present our strategic plans, what is it that the NYDA has done in the past year, what is it that is planning to do, and we account more in detail in terms of our programs and projects. Unfortunately, this is the first time we're appearing before the committee. And when we read the letter why we are invited, we didn't see a need of going into deeper details in terms of what the expectations of the committee, but it's something that we can fix even next time. When we come, we can delve deeper and give you the details that you want to do. Of course, we understand we have been very shallow in our presentation. It's because we thought that it was a relationship igniting a kind of a presentation that will take us forward. But quickly, I spoke about green economy.
Just on that one, typically the members of parliament, when they invite anybody, they don't stick to the terms of reference.
Yes.
So you expect any question?
Yeah. No, the questions are not a problem. It is the comprehensive prepared presentation that is a bit of a challenge. But questions, we can respond to any questions. I'm just saying, in terms of meeting the expectation, and next time we will come even with a better understanding of what the committee would like to know, and so on and so forth. On the issue of climate change, I've already alluded in the presentation, Chair, with the issue of the green economy strategy. The green economy strategy speaks to the issues of climate change. We were not presenting the strategy itself, but we were giving highlights out of the strategy. And if you care for that, we can come some other time and present the strategy, but also in the processes of COP17, in the processes of COI7, and the African Youth on Environment area as well. It's just that for the purposes of presentation, like I said, we thought that we should be limiting it to that. So there's quite vast amounts of information in that area. We've highlighted issues of energy and energy renewal and energy efficiency. We've spoken about wastewater management, which speaks also to recycling issues and so on and so forth. But the other questions that were raised by other members of the committee, Magengalege Gumamukis, it's only through that that we grow. There is no other way of growing unless you are called to order and you are corrected so that you do things in a better way and an improved way. As it had any offense food, it's exactly what we need and we enjoy that. I imagine a gem also in the Kulu, Tuana, Unganamundok Kuza, Unganamundok Jela, Lutokshut Outtown. But if you are Kuzu, it says something about the love that your elders have for you. And that is why we appreciate that. But we need to speak about a few things. Che, Ufanel with the Sukweme, this cutting Nengi, Ugu Tata is in this Jela on my paper. Because that information is misleading. I always say to my colleagues at work that the difference between me and most of them is that I am a fully fledged academic person and I've been exposed thoroughly to research and information that comes to me and it's not validated. I have a problem with that. If you tell me a story by somebody, by a source that cannot be verified and so on and so forth, I have a serious problem. I don't take decisions on the basis of that. It's very important because as cutting as nengi, information and verse were abandoned by my pattern and media, by verse because kune dimension it is a fun to yes. And I gave back verse, any dimension was even balanced the way they say, was a target decision. And I'm glad that both members of this committee spoke after each other, said that the information they have is mainly from the media, which also speaks to the issue of visibility. I will address it just now, but I just want to talk about the correctness first of the information that we get. You talk about the festival of 2010, which we have fully accounted before the Portfolio Committee of Women, Children and Gender, and they were quite happy when we presented our account of that festival. And you are only shown one picture. Mama Axi Omundo Tagi or Kumulile Omundo, Amanda Babi, Lavanda Basha Babi, Lavanda said, good Mabatamsa. Only 2 young people out of 15,000 delegates. And because of that, you declare the whole 15,000 rotten. That is what the media of this country does. Now, when we went to the Portfolio Committee, Ogasne Tagi Iloku, Sayas Peters in Tombe, Ezra's Peter, Abanya Bosoma Peter, Bawamanya Mazwe, Ule Festival, Ez Bonisa with the festival, Yai Hambaga, Seganja. Contrary to Lezes Abezi to Ebers Veza, and Ginga Peter and Malia Mionginai, who has figured his Tombes Nobubos or Stola, Napandas Tombes Abanda Basharatas and Nayo, same photo, and Nestombe Salamanda Basha Abai to OCC, Balelepans Bakatel. Those are the only 2 pictures that were used to create a particular dimension about the actual outcomes of the festival. There is no way that we can use imali yomphakathi sasikahle sifunde sinje sine experiences nayo kangaka sisebenzisele ukuyothenga utshwala sithengele abantu abasha kusaso so account of pain. So sizwisisa kahle loko sisho sithi kini there's nothing of the sort that happened. It's only the reports that were created to be like that, and we have proven much to the contrary. And if you dare, you may invite us specifically on that aspect so that we can expand on that particular report. Who has won Bonisa Elinye aside? I also believed, Honorable Member Stein, just like you do, that it's more about what or how you say what you want to say out there. But I must tell you, my belief is getting eroded. I don't operate at the same level as the chairperson of the NYTA. My level is not political, it's purely administrative, purely and I insistently believed that perhaps it's the manner in which things are said out there that gives us a problem. So we must go out there and give the right perspectives. But my hope is eroded because every time you say this, tomorrow it comes out, it's not like that. It's something else. There are many things, there are many examples that I can cite about the media of this country that in this instance, this is what we said. And last example, just as an example, is to speak about the issue of the clean audit opinion. We have said as the National Youth Development Agency, we are on TV, captured SABC 2 on the view from Parliament. We are captured speaking to the portfolio committee saying the NYDA for the year 2010-2011 has received a clean audit opinion with matters of emphasis. We are on record saying that. We are also on record on the 30th of October, I think, when we published a statement and gave it to all media houses on the same issues, saying we have received an unqualified audit opinion with matters of emphasis. And I know, because I spoke to the issues, I went to town explaining these five matters of emphasis and the implications and how they came about. But when the media, Cape Town, for example, last week, not far, last week, issued a report that seemed to suggest that NYDA deliberately concealed the matters of emphasis, and we presented a report that says we are as clean as snow. But that is not what we said. I'm just giving an example of saying why my confidence is getting eroded in the media reports. No matter how much you try to give them the right facts, you will always have this dimension that they want to advance, and that is what they are going. Lastly, on the same issue of the festival. On the festival, there were a lot of trade-offs. It was during December. We were caught off guard with regards to the festival because administration was not prepared to run with that process. A private company was appointed, an events management company was appointed to actually run with the process. But the condition was given to that events management company. If we give you this contract, you are going to fundraise first and foremost. After fundraising, you then run with the festival. Your management fees will be paid as a percentage of what you fundraised. And this media, this events management company agreed. But at the 11th hour, when they realized that nobody is coming to party with regards to the funds, they then withdrew. And when they withdrew, we had to come in because Parliament had already committed 29 million. Because Lottery had already committed directly 40 million. So administration came into being. So management of the procurement processes was a bit challenging during that time. People are closed. You go to this one and say, I want food. They tell you, no, my suppliers are closed. This food is too much. For that matter, just for the record, we even approached outlets such as Nando's, Chicken Licking, and so on and so forth. All these big outlets trying to find assistance. And they told us, no, for the quantities you want, our suppliers are closed. That is why we reverted to the smaller and catering companies for them to assist us with regards to that process. But there was a lot of trade-offs that we were exposed to. Some items were expensive, too expensive for that matter, because people, they understand supply and demand of economics. But some items were extremely cheap. And the media...
I think we need to get to the issues now. I think there's too much information.
Yeah.
So that's not what... we are here for in the May option. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's fine, sir. For example, accommodation was 125 rands per head per day there. That is not mentioned, but thank you very much for the opportunity, Chair. And let me deal, therefore, with the issues of accessibility and visibility. This is a fact we have long admitted. We have said we are not visible enough, we are not accessible enough. And we have said that we need 283 at least offices in the whole country to cover all the municipal areas in the country, be it rural or urban, at least 283. Currently we are sitting at 144. And this 144 does not mean 144 municipal areas currently. In Johannesburg you can find three offices. In Bloemfontein, for example, there are also three offices. So there's quite a vast amount of backlogs that we're having in the municipal areas. But, you know, you don't just establish an office and say it is branded NYDA logo, we are visible. You must put an office and it must render a service. And for us to be able to do that, you must employ young people, you must set aside budget for the vouchers, you must set aside budget for the loans. We have estimated from experience of the full service branches that we are having, that to have a full service branch, we need about 52 in 52 districts in the country. To have a full service branch, you require a capital injection for a year of 3 million. And 3 million multiplied by 52, even what we are currently getting, cannot meet that. It becomes exorbitant. And you go to talk about the local units, it becomes a problem. So we admit to the issue of visibility and accessibility. It's something that we are working on, and it speaks directly to the need why the resourcing of the NYDA needs to be increased. But of course, the issue of the strategy, we have a strategy, like I said, we presented it before the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children, and Disability. That strategy was approved by the executive authority. We are a public entity, so before we even draw the first tranche of our annual allocation, there must be a strategy that is approved. And that is the strategy I'm referring to. If you want us to expose you to it, we can be able to expose you to it. It's a plan that was approved. It's not a plan that we think every day how best to change it, how best to make it work. No. It's a plan that is approved right at the beginning of the year. Government processes, they call for that. You plan at the beginning of the year, and as you move on, you implement what you have. So there is a plan that is approved by the minister in the office of the president. We will expose you to that plan at some time. Cooperatives is one of our core responsibilities. When we say that, it does not mean anybody else or everybody else must stop establishing or assisting young people to establish cooperatives. We're working actively on the establishment of cooperatives. We have established quite a great deal of cooperatives, youth-owned cooperatives. We're exposing them to training. We will be able to give you numbers and locations of those cooperatives that we're talking about. In the KZN area, there is a great deal of work we are doing. For your information, Mamum Kize, our annual reports that we presented before Parliament, audited and confirmed, they will indicate to you that the province that benefits the most in our programs is KZN. We have a problem in Northern Cape, we have a problem in Western Cape, we have a problem in other provinces, but if you look at the comparative pie graphs, you will realize that the one that shoots up is KZN. And we've always applauded it because, for example, they have only one full-service branch, which is in Thekwini, but there is work that is being done. And these are ordinary young men and women. We have a black book, I saw you having it yesterday. We have a black book, a list of beneficiaries, if you are interested in knowing who really benefited from these programs that the NYDA is talking about. It has got names, provinces, and municipalities. It will say Stephen Ngubeni from Mpumalanga, from Vitakani Municipality. It's not a thumbs up something, so you can be able to confirm with Stephen Ngubeni whether indeed he has benefited or not. We have compiled that for the last financial year, and we are intending to go on. There's a vast amount of information in that regard. There are examples of projects that I will allow the executive manager to just take you through quickly of some of the rural projects that we prepared just now, by the way. Just to illustrate that there are projects that are happening in the rural areas. I will allow when I conclude, and then we can rest our response. Partners in the rural areas that we are talking about these government departments which we are pursuing right now. We are talking about the funding agencies. We are talking about the land bank and many other agencies that we are busy speaking to. But there are municipalities that we are working with. And for your information, Inkosi, I might not have the accurate name of the structure, but there is a structure of the traditional leaders that we are working with in this project, in particular in the Eastern Cape. I remember that there is an NAK project that we are working on with the structure of the traditional leaders that I'm talking about. But for the fear of possible distortions, I will not say exactly what is the structure. I will be able to finish it to you. But we are working with as many as possible the stakeholders. Of course, it is possible, even in Delmas sometimes, where I come from. It's a small town of 49,000 people. Where I come from sometimes, and I speak on YFM and I say, youth development is doing this and that, and so on and so forth. Somebody phones from Delmas and says, no, but I don't see anything in Delmas. It's very possible. Because of the limited resources that we are talking about, we are unable to reach each and every part of the country. But if you ask us, if you did not come to me, where did you go?
to it's our first encounter. Yeah, let's put it that way for starters. Siyaqala ukuhlangana kunye nabo. And then what is clear is that a lot still will have to be happening, the interaction, so to speak. We'll request you to put it in writing in the interest of time, all the other responses, in the interest of time, because we are expected to be back in the house. We still have a report to go through and adopt. So it means within a period of about 20 minutes or so, we shall have to do all of that. Members, let us thank Ms. Ngubeni and the team from NYTA. We obviously are learning every day. We obviously have to interact more. And then I can speak for myself from Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries that we certainly will have to make contact with yourselves. As I was saying, as we do so, we would also have to have people from the department themselves so that the direct questions can be responded to, like the DG has just done, and also contact in that regard be made directly with the administration concerned. Members, let us thank once again the NYTA team for the time and also the opportunity to have presented to ourselves here. We are here until this week. In other words, from next week we are out of Parliament for the year. So we'll then request, if it is all possible, that by end of next week we get those responses through to Pumza, Pumlaman, Pumla Nyamza. I shorten it to Mza. Everything under one name, Pumza, electronically, so that she can circulate it to all of us. And then, of course, we'll have to get back to yourselves as the year begins, having to look into our own programs, the respective committees, so to speak. Okay, thank you. You can leave if you so wish. If you don't want to leave, you can still be with us and have a sense of the other things that we are doing or we have been doing. Thank you, members. Let's go straight to the report.
We just caucused with the secretary. We agree that the members have had a chance to look at this report, but it needs some editing. Not editing, to add more recommendations, to simplify some of them and elaborate on some of them. I'll give you four examples. On 6.2, we need to change the date from October 2011 to January 2012.
Page 9
of the recommendations. On 6.4, we don't know how many contracts that the department has had with the strategic partners. Remember, DG, you had 200 JVs in the Western Cape, which were evaluated. Only 8 were found to have been working, and the rest were not. So we need to have learned a lesson from those in Free State and Mpumalanga. So we need the list of those contracts. You remember, you told us that KPMG is actually monitoring the implementation of the contract. How many are they? With who? Which institutions? Which CPAs? On the same, we need the list of strategic partners themselves. Not just the contracts, but also the list of strategic partners on 6.4. We need to amend, therefore, that sentence to incorporate that. The last one, which we need to amend, is 6.7. Members here, DG, have been raising questions about NARISEC in Northern Cape, NARISEC in Northern Cape, because they visited and they interacted with NARISEC. The better thing to do, to put a rest to this question lingering all the time, give us the breakdown of your 500 5,300 naira per town. These are in this department, these are in this town, this is what they are doing, this is what they are learning. Remember last time when we spoke about NARESEC, we said to you, the best example is how security companies manage their guards. Remember, there are grades in guards, and there's a cost involved in each grade. They place them in strategic points in their customer, and they account for how many hours they've been there. Now, if you can't do that, you can't manage them. You can't even cost. In that sense, therefore, we're not asking you to produce a guard countdown. We say a breakdown, at least. What they are doing, what they are learning, where. Please, Chief. I'm suggesting that there's 8 recommendations as they are not wrong. It's just that we need to put a little bit of meat in them so that we learn from the example of your petition responses. Instead of going through the same process with you to have a two-phase process, we want one-phase process. I make that proposal, Committee Chair, so that we adopt this, not today, but we adopt it in the first meeting in January when we come back. Please, we can't do it today. And by the way, this is our last meeting today. And because it's our last meeting, Kosiam, it's our last meeting. We need to decide what we're going to do next year. We have to have minutes as well. If you leave, we're not going to adopt those minutes. Please. There's a committee that has been sitting for the past 2 years and never adopted the minutes. They've got a problem now. I do not want us to have in the same situation. Please, Chief.
I would want us to accept that, especially also that we don't have anybody from the Department of Agriculture. To an extent, you might wish to forward that this report to them so that they are able as well to look closely to the recommendation. But this is one set of work that we'd wish to do all of together. Can we agree then that we are not adopting this the joint report for now?
I know that the minutes I've been circulated. Can we take them as read? Is anybody who looked at them find anything wrong with them? I'm asking only those that did look at them.
Yes, did look at them.
Yes, did you find anything?
No.
Thank you very much. Do I get any mover? Ms. Slava is moving, seconded by Ms. Tate. Thank you very much. The minutes have been adopted and amended. Thank you very much. Now,
the proposed dates are the 17th.
Can I get peace in the house? I'm not fighting with anybody. There's an invitation for all members to go to Fenwood. Fenwood, there will be a bus collecting everybody from here and take you to Fenwood and bring you back to your house in the park. You don't have to drive there. You can sit in the bus comfortably. Honorable members, because it's our last day today of being together, we have received a framework, a guide from the House Chair on the work that will be done in 2012. And I'm assuming that all members have received a copy of that guide. If you have not received it, it's not a secret, it must be circulated to members, so that when we formulate the program for next year, every member has had an opportunity to look at it and put some items on it. Please, thank you very much. Pumla, give them the copy. NYDA, please, you are invited for lunch. We want to explore some of the things that we could not explore.